All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's Monday Night Call. Today's Monday, June 2nd, 2014. We're going to start the evening off. I just want to read a few verses from the Bible. I think it's important to give glory to God. And so in the beginning, we'll just read a few verses. I was looking at Proverbs today. I'm not sure whether I read this one here. I know I've read this recently. I've read this one actually often, but I think I read it somewhere recently. I'm not sure whether I did it here on National Liberty Alliance or not, but I'm going to read it again anyway. It's a good one. And I think it, you know, if we're going to want to get justice back in America, we have to turn to God and we have to be obedient to Him. We've got to come with a bent knee because justice is synonymous with virtue. According to Black's Law Dictionary, that's the truth, and according to the Bible, that's the truth also. So the legal system or the court system was originally put together with the purpose and idea of justice in mind, at least the legal system under common law that we've been pursuing. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a shield to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of the judgments paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leaveth the path of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoiceth to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of a God, for her house inclineth unto death, and a path unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. And that was Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. I believe that was the entire chapter. Well, maybe not. But anyway, it's 22 verses. So this focus here is to receive the words of God, and discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. And if there's ever a time that we the people need discretion, it is today, it is now. We need to be preserved. We need to have understanding so that we can be kept. And we are indeed fighting against wicked men. You know, we've sent letters out to all of the judges here in New York and even on to the appellate courts, and we've received nothing back. We've alerted them of the problems in the court, of the RICO and all the criminal activities, and they have answered us with nothing. We've gone into their federal courts, and we filed our papers, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. And they, too, have been silent. We're expecting to hear something back from them today, and so far we've been met with silence. So we'll talk a little bit about where we're going to go with that shortly. Before we get moving on that subject, though, I'd like to cover a few things. Number one, we have taken on a new state. I believe I found out about this last Tuesday. I'm not sure when, but this happened on Monday, on 5/30/2014, which is May 30th, 2014. Minnesota joined us as a fully constituted state for a total of 13 states. We also at this point have 600 counties nationwide constituted. So that's close. That's just about almost 20%. A few more counties and we will be at 20%. We do have some other states that are ready to break forward and be constituted. Those states that are ready to constitute, maybe you can get yourself into the queue and let us know so that we can mark you as a potential state. We're going to talk about our next strategy, which really is the power of the people, the strategy of really coming at them from every point, every place. You know, I was going to read tonight Jericho and the blowings of the horns and the great shout and how Joshua went around Jericho seven times and then with a loud shout and the walls fell. And I perceive what we're doing right now. We've got the court surrounded. And we're yelling, we're shouting, we're blowing the trumpets that represent that shout, letting them know that justice is here, justice is coming. And I perceive they do clearly hear and are concerned about what we're doing. They don't have names of people, and we're not going to give them names of people, but they do know that there's a lot of us. They do know that we're moving across the nation. I spoke with a lieutenant down in New York City recently. But in fact, I'm going to post a poster of somebody that they were calling a sovereign citizen because he was battling in court and he was challenging their authority and quoting you know, the common law, quoting the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, Supreme Court rulings. And they referred to him, they didn't outright call him a paper terrorist, but they were talking about him filing his papers and that he was a sovereign citizen and he had to be watched. And they put him, it looked like a wanted poster. but it had no purpose. It said do not detain, at least not according to this this circular. So I'm going to post that. We removed the identity of the person on that poster. But we did, we're going to attach a copy of his case to see what kind of a terrorist he seems to be. And from their perspective, of course. And we added to our information, anybody who's read our information, we spoke about terrorism. We spoke about how they try to mark us off as terrorists or say that we are mentally disturbed or something. We did recently, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, we did an information on this. So we're going to do an addendum. We're going to add this. And so we're going to post that. I'm going to try to post this tonight after the meeting and people will be able to get up there and take a look at this. But anyway, I was speaking to this lieutenant who apparently is the guy who put this out. He denied it, but his name is on there, his phone number is on there, and his email is on there. And he asked who I was, and I just told him I was John with the National, with Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury. And he immediately knew who I was and made mention of the fact that you guys are really moving across the country. I said, well, of course, the people are upset and they want their country back. I don't remember exactly what I said, but something probably to that nature, that we were moving very quickly. And, yeah, people want the justice back. So the word is out there, and he's down there right next door to Prudente, which is one of the second executive judge here in New York. There are eight executive judges, and all eight of them have ended up under indictment here in New York from the New York grand jury, common law grand jury. So anyway, the word is getting out, and I know they're worried. They don't know what to do with us. They can't really come at us with a frontal assault. And I think they've learned, because everything they've done, we've just trumpeted aloud. I mean, whatever they've done, we just made a big splash about what they were saying and to show that they had nothing. And, they stopped saying anything to us. They only responded back to us twice, and then they stopped talking because they realized all they kept doing was putting their foot in their mouth. So they have nothing to say. And as most know, you know, they've come at us with the FBI on three occasions, and they left right away. They didn't have anything to do. They didn't want any part of this. They realized this is a battle between the people and the courts, and they didn't want to get in the middle. So here we are. And the question is what to do next, and we're going to talk about that shortly. Let's see. Any state that is about to complete themselves within the next week or two, if there's a state coordinator here or even any kind of an organizer from that state, and they're aware of the fact that they have a plan that they're going to be totally organized in the next week or two, get into the queue and let us know so we can identify you, because again, powers are with numbers, and we're going to be coming at them with the fully constituted states. We talked about this on our emergency meeting on Thursday. We had a meeting, and that record is up there on right here on the Monday Night page. Anybody wants to listen to it? And we spoke about part of the plan and where we're heading, and we want to come with the power of all the states. So this time, they're not only going to get a New York unified seal, they're going to get a seal from all the other states that have come unified and have constituted all of their counties. And that should shake them up more. Again, this is the power of the people. This is where it's at. You know, one or two people aren't going to accomplish anything. But when you have 13 states and 16 states, and we may have as many as 17 by the time in the next couple of weeks, I'm not sure. But I know I've got word from a few people, and if those states get done, and then we should have about 17 states, which means about a third of the nation. And that's pretty powerful to come in a paper with 13 seals on it from 13 states representing a whole bunch of counties. Any state that thinks that they like, look at California's got a lot of people. You guys could get that job done in the next week and a half. Let's get it done. Go out there and do it. Go find four or five locations or six locations, whatever it takes, and get the state done. You can do three on a Saturday, you know, morning, midday, and an evening. And, you know, if the state isn't too big, California's kind of big for this, but if the state isn't too big, you know, go to the capital and do all the counties if you have to in the capital. Just make sure you do the advertisement. Talk to some people who've done multiple counties. There's quite a few people. Maybe they can start making phone calls to states that they can look into to see that they might be able to assist. And they'll teach you and show you how to do it. But you got to get the word out to the people. You know, you got to get into the newspapers. You got to make the notifications. You got to make the phone calls. You got to invite a lot of people. And you got to do all the paperwork and get it together. And you got to get a notary with you. And then you can do it. We're at that point. We can't wait no longer. We have to go forward, and we need as many states as possible. So let's get this job done. It's time to really get moving on this. So any state that is completed, we spoke about this on Thursday, needs to go out and order their seal, their unified seal. We have a copy of a unified seal up on the Jurist page. All you have to do is click on Jurist, and then click on Jurist Documents. And when you click on Jurist Documents, I think it's going to, let's see, Unified Grand Jury Seal. If you click on that, it'll give you all the information you need on how to create and how to make up the Unified Grand Jury Seal for your state. So there's an example up there in the page, and there's detailed information exactly how to fill this out. The outer ring says Unified Your State Grand Jury Seal. The inner ring says Natural Law by the Grace of God, and the center says 1215 AD. And so the more unified seals from states that we can get onto our paperwork, the stronger it'll be. And we've got some other ideas for things to be filed maybe in the federal courts or to the judges within your states, but we'll talk about that in the future. Right now, we need to get these seals going. We need to get a copy of them, and we need to attach them to our next paperwork. So again, let me just make this point. I spoke with, I think it was Hagen. Maybe Hagen, if you want to pipe in, get yourself into the queue. I think it was Hagen I was speaking with a little earlier, and said he might be able to find somebody that's going to organize all of the states that are totally constituted and get talking with the state coordinators to get the seals ordered and get them accomplished and to get a copy to us. I was supposed to, I did not do this, I just realized it now, I'll make a note. as I'm speaking here. But we have to, I'm going to get a paper up online. It'll be on the Jurist document page. So again, go to the Jurist tab, the right top right side, Jurist tab. And the Jurist tab, you won't see it unless you're logged in. But you click on that, and we'll just highlight that. And then click on Documents, Jurist Documents. And on that page, you will see the Unified Common Law, Unified Grand Jury Seal. I'm also going to put a form up there, and I will call it, let's see, Grand Jury Seal Form. That's what it's going to be called. And it'll have a place for a signature, a place to put your state, and it'll have and then you'll put your seal there. And I'll need four, anybody that gets a unified seal because the state is complete, or anybody that's about to complete their state in the next 2 weeks, get your seal now, and you can do this also. You can send me a copy of your seal. I need a copy of the seal on a paper with a signature. So I'll get that form up there exactly how it is, and I'll need four copies, four originals. So we need, you print out four copies, you sign four copies, and you seal four copies. And you put them in an envelope, and you mail them to, you can go right up to our donation page. And on the bottom of the page, you'll see a place where to mail it to. You can mail it to me at using Tradewinds. So use Tradewinds and the mailing address on that page. And then we will add one seal from every state whenever we do something here in New York. And I'm thinking maybe four or five would be plenty for us to have on file as we go forward. Matter of fact, we'll just make it five, make five seals. And this way we know we have it as we write and send these things in. Let's see. I guess that's about it for that. So the next step we're going to do is we're going to add to the case this information that I had written. The judge has not responded. We'll give him a couple more days. We're waiting for the seals anyway. And I'm going to send him one final letter. And maybe he misunderstood us. Maybe he doesn't get it. Maybe he thinks he had the ability and had came up with all these magic words and was able to change our jurisdiction. I mean, he sure did try on that paper. We spoke about that last Monday or Thursday, whenever it was we spoke. I think it was last Monday, how they tried to change the jurisdiction. They changed the tribunal. They called us plaintiff instead. They also said we were pro se. We didn't say we were pro se. They called us a group, which could be a corporation, or a group is something cut out of a larger piece, a group of this, or a group of that, and a group of another thing. No, we're the people. We were clear with that, and we straightened that out. But maybe he somehow thinks he's got some magic someplace that kind of takes us back into his jurisdiction. We're going to make it crystal clear. We did get a call from somebody who suggested that we want to be a little clearer about the sovereign part and that we are all people, all the people involved in the juries, all people, and a few other points that needed to be made. So, we'll do an overkill, and we're going to take that person up on what their suggestion was and do a little bit of an overkill on the fact to let this guy know he's got no wiggle room if he thinks someplace in the future he's going to be able to hide, because he's not going to be able to hide. He needs to obey the law and do the right thing, or he's in bad behavior, and he needs to be removed from the bench, and we will do that. Now, of course, we don't have the authority yet to do that, but we can certainly fill out the paperwork and let him know we've removed him. And when we get the enforcement, he's going to be removed. He's going to be arrested and fingerprinted like any other criminal should be, and he'll be brought to justice. Let a trial jury decide what his fate is. So this is where we got to head with that. But we'll give him that one last chance. And also let him know, I don't know what he thinks, or if he really has read the paperwork. If he read the paperwork, he should understand that this is a national movement and we're in many states. But we're going to make it very clear to him that there's at least 13 states, and at the time we write the letter, we may have 15 or 16, or whatever that'll be, it'll be, and we'll get that out there. And we'll push it hard on him. I just got a list of all of the, well, I didn't get the list yet, but someone's working on a list right now. They found a list. They're putting it together in labels. I think there's just under 200 federal judges here in New York, 180 or 160 or something like that. We're going to send a letter out to every one of those judges to notify them of all the criminal activities going on, put them on notice, and telling them that they have a duty to do something about it, and give us a yell and let's do what has to be done. Give us the enforcement and let's go forward. Otherwise, the federal district court here in New York also has failed if they don't do something, and they will be indicting themselves like every state judge in New York has done. We'll talk about potentially doing this in every state, at least the constituted states. Again, you know, I've been pushing people for a long time. Let's get the counties done, because we're going to need them. Well, now we need them. So anybody who hasn't get them done, let's get out there and get them done already, because we need you. We need the forces. We need the people. We need the people to rise up from every place in the nation, coming out of every county. They cannot deny us. So we need it. Let's get it done. No more procrastinating. People in states that are done, let's call states that are not done, and let's help them along. Let's get this done. You know, we need to be spending time in our own states to continue to organize, because organizing is constant. We still have a lot of blank spots where we need to get people to take the authority. But now we're going to have to put our effort out to the states that haven't been moving along and help them to get along. So let's get it done to get those states going, and then we'll return back to our own states to get our own jobs done. But at least if we can, on paper, come out with a good, strong showing, I'd love to get at least half the counties, half the states, if there's any way possible in the next 30 days. I mean, that's power. Our next move, once we exhaust the federal system here, which may take a couple of weeks to a month to exhaust, let's say 2 or 3 weeks, it may take that long. Well, our next move is Washington. We go to Washington, the United States Supreme Court. So that'll be our next move. But until then, we need to exhaust the federal courts, and we'd like to exhaust not only the federal courts here in New York, but the federal courts in every state, or at least in the states that are constituted. Again, people should see and understand how important it is to get the states constituted. You have to be talking in force. You have to be talking with authority of the people. You have to be coming up out of every county. So, anyway, I guess I beat that dog to death. I guess that's about it for now. I guess we'll open up the phone lines. Let me get back into the chat room first. I know I was in the chat room. I'll keep my ear, or my eye, shall I say, on the chat room, and if I see any questions come up, maybe I can respond to what's going on out there. So let's take our first caller, 847-428. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. Robert Dale here with some exciting news from Illinois.
How you doing?
All right.
I heard something in an email. I was excited, but go right ahead.
Yeah, Illinois has had our first meeting to convene and constitute. We've got the first 10 counties constituted all in one day. On Saturday, we did it.
Great.
So
work.
They're excited. I mean, we got 102 counties here. It's kind of a big undertaking, but we got the first step, the first 10 done. So exciting news. I have two questions for you, John, if I could. First one is, what do you do if you're at a multi-county meeting to constitute multiple counties? And let's say someone shows up, didn't run an ad in his county, but he shows up and says, or several people, we want to constitute our county. We're here. Can we do it? What do you say?
Well, I'd like to say you can, but look, the purpose of putting it into the newspaper is getting it to the general public. We're not getting it out to some private club. We're inviting the people, and it's an integrity thing, so it's honorable. So I would say no, redo those counties. Get them out you know what? You can go to the we're at a desperate situation. Let's just face what we're at. We're at a desperate situation. You know, for those who are in the know, we know that July is a big focus by the elite for a potential problem to occur in America. And they're working on this. We know it's coming up, but July is kind of the next focus for those who have been kind of watching. Not that we know July anything's going to happen, because we've seen these dates come and we've seen them go. And for various reasons, they didn't pull the plug. And we know why, you know.
Right.
Look, one of the big things they need to do is to get our guns away, and they have not accomplished that yet. That's a major problem for these people. But they may go ahead without getting the guns from us and try to get the guns at the time when they pull the plug. So they might pull the monetary plug first and then start seizing guns while there's chaos in the streets, people trying to get food and to survive. So I don't know, whatever they're going to do. All we know is whatever's coming, it's coming quick and it's coming soon. So these are desperate times, and it calls for desperate measures sometimes. I'd like to be very honorable and do one county at a time and go from county to county, but we moved in order to get things going faster. We decided, well, okay, let's do a group of counties at a time. Unless your state has a couple of hundred, like there's only one state that has a couple of hundred, that's Texas. I mean, that's kind of a problem there to do all the counties at one time. It's a huge state. You can't expect people to travel that far. So
right.
Something like Texas, you have to definitely do divided. California is the same way. It's a long state. But most other states, not all the states, but most of the other states, you know, you could take the center of the state or you could take the capital, and you can get a press release in all of the papers in each county across the state, find a central location, and do the whole state at one shot. It's going to take a lot of work to do that from the standpoint there's going to be a lot of paperwork. You're going to do a lot of inviting and getting people really have to get involved with this. You know, you have to call every single person up on the list here at National Liberty Alliance. State coordinators have access to that. So make the phone calls and say, look, we're going to count on you to be here. This is so important. Travel. If it's 2 or 3 hours, travel. I mean, I travel 6 hours, and I do it often, just to go from one end of the state to the other, just to get the job done for whatever has to be done in New York. We've been doing that for years. Everyone can travel a few hours if that's what they have to do. Call up all of the Liberty groups in the different counties and invite them, get them up to the front page to see how important it is, get it in the newspapers, get the people you know that's going to come, you know, that's in the game, get them there. Look, if they get the name of National Liberty Alliance, I expect that they're going to be there. Unless they're ill or something, I expect they're going to be there. And you do it on a Saturday. Don't do it too early. Do it a little late enough so people can travel. You know, do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday, someplace in the middle of the state. And if someone has to travel 2 or 3 or 4 hours, then at least they got the time. They don't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get there. And do the state, because we have to get it done. That's why we have to do it. But bear in mind, whoever puts this together, you have to make sure you have all the paperwork done for each one of those counties. You have to have it organized and put it in a folder. You have to have someone who's really organized and has it. And you're going to have a couple of notaries with you to get all the signaturing done. And so don't go up there and not get the notaries done, because if you think it's going to be a nightmare trying to collect all this paperwork, trust me. So you
right.
have to be prepared, and you got to get it done. So anybody who can do that, do it. If the state's a really big state and it's too much to ask people to travel that far, then do it in 2 pieces or 4 pieces. Look, at California, you could do it in 4 sections. Texas, you could do it in 4 sections. Most of the other states, you could do it in 1 or 2 and get the state done. But I tell you, this is desperate times. We need to get this job done. We need to come with power and force. If we go to Washington, we need 26-plus states on board. We need everyone going here. So let's do what we have to do. I know Hagen is available. I'm sorry, I'm going to volunteer you for some more work here, Hagen. Hagen's available to give a call to get some information on how to do this. There's other people that have done this throughout the states, and they can, you know, start calling some states and giving them a hand. But let's get this job done.
All right. My other question, real quick, a lot of us are getting a call from a man. He's a very nice man. He's an attorney. His name is William Taylor Real, Bill Real, and he says that he has a paper out that exposes the National Liberty Alliance with 9 questions that must be answered. And I wondered if anybody had ever actually taken that challenge and answered those questions and basically
put
this to rest.
I'd love to get those questions so I can answer them.
Okay.
Well, here, you know, here's the thing. You know, we've been here every Monday night for 3 hours for over a year. And before we even started this part, we were here. So, you know, going into the courts, we're available. My phone number is plastered everywhere. I get calls from all over the nation. I get calls from all over the world, literally. And so I talk to people all the time. They can get on the phone and call me. I'm available. I know that they know where my number's at. I know they know. If they've been on the site and they see what's going on, they know there's a Monday night call. They got my email. It's plastered everywhere. So all they have to do is send me a list of that, and we'll answer that. We have no problem. There's nothing we're going to run away from. Because we have not had a question asked us that we could not answer yet. We haven't had anyone say anything that we couldn't respond to and shut them down. Because we come with great amounts, huge amounts of authority when we speak, and they come with nothing, absolutely nothing. So, yeah, if you can get me a copy of that, give me that individual, I'd love to talk with them.
If I email it to you, you know it's going to be lost in the mass. How can I get this to you so you'll see it?
Well, put it in, email it to me, and also email it to Gerard, because he usually gets, and you know, if I don't get it, he'll get it. Gerard, are you here? I don't think he's online.
I think I got Gerard's email.
Yeah, you can go up to New York, and he's in Greene County. Gerard, just look for Gerard in Greene County. He's the only Gerard there. And you can click on his name and get his email address. I think he's live.com. I think he's Gerard.com.
And maybe once we get the answer, we could post it on our documents or something.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, if you go to the Monday night page, let me just get here real quick. I'll open up another tab. Not a Monday night page. If you go to, hang on a minute. Yeah, Hagen. Okay. All right. Well, get on the mic with that. I'll look for you. Okay. Thanks. Okay. Yeah, I guess Hagen knows who that person is too.
Yeah.
But if you go out to our news page, okay, on the top of our news page, we have, what is it we have here? No legal authority. This is a some bar attorney that wrote this up. He was a professor, and he claims that we, the people, have no authority to restore the common law. We've shown that he doesn't have any authority by any of the claims that he's making, and we've shown tremendous amounts of authorities, and yet he shows nothing. He's coming in his own authority. His authority is, I'm a professor, and I teach. That's his authority. Big deal. That doesn't mean anything to anyone, you know? But we did do one. It stays on the top of the page, and it says no legal authority PDF, and that's one. And we'll put, if we could do this, we'll maybe label it 10 questions or something?
Nine questions.
Okay, we'll just label it something like 9 questions from a bar attorney or whoever he is. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think Hagen mentions that he's not really an attorney. So he's, I guess, identified himself as an attorney.
He's calling lots of members.
Yeah, we have people, I don't know if they're being paid to do this or they're just mentally disturbed, but they spend their time calling people to try to deter people from being with us, and they try to frighten people. Look, this is going to happen. This is what Nazis and this is what communists do. And I'm not name-calling. I'm just telling you the facts.
Sure.
This is what Nazis and this is what communists do. They're bullies, and they try to frighten people. They try to intimidate people. And they get violent. They try to be violent anyway. But we got to push back to some degree. We don't want to get violent, but we want to push back, and we're not going to let them disturb us. And if you ignore them long enough and they get frustrated, they'll leave. So.
Yeah, right. All right, well, Gary and I are working hard here in Illinois. We're going to keep it up. So thanks all for what you're doing.
I see you working. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, Godspeed. Next caller, wireless caller, 406. You got the mic.
Well, okay, we're here.
Yes,
how you doing?
Are. Good.
This is Anthony. John, we're doing West Virginia. We have few stops to make tomorrow. We'll be finished by the end of the week.
That's
I'm ordered...
right. I was trying to remember who said they were going to finish soon. West Virginia was one of them. Okay, yeah.
Right.
Go for your seal. Let's get your seal going. I don't know. Have you ordered it yet?
I'm ordering it right now. I'm almost ready to press the purchase button.
Okay.
Do we put it on the
make sure you make sure you get it done right. Look up on did you get look at the what it needs to look at look like?
Oh yeah. I've got your sample right up here in New York State. Grand Jury seal.
Okay.
Do we have it left oriented, right? That's what
okay.
I see there now. Choose left. That's
right.
All I need to
it
do.
Always comes in on the left for us because you have the signature and the date sort of to the right, and you're coming in on the left side all the time. So.
Okay, so we're rolling. A pretty
okay.
important piece of information my friend Bill gave me. There was a court case that was being talked about on Friday about the Queen of England and her not being authentically... the ceremony was something wrong with the ceremony, and she's not really
yeah,
queen
yeah,
of England.
Yeah, I think to be honest with you, I don't want to dog anybody or anything like that. But I don't trust any of those things. I think those are just trying to get people off guard and saying, "Ah, oh, relax a little bit. You know, we're taking care of the business." I don't believe any of it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I just don't. I may be wrong. I mean, I have no knowledge one way or the other. But
I don't either.
But
I just know what they printed.
Huh?
I say, I don't have any knowledge about it except what they printed on that page
right.
my friend sent me. So we'll see what happens with
it
that.
Because I've been hearing stories for a long time about things, and it kind of puts people to get off guard, really. It's taking us off guard. It's just taking our attention away from what we really should be focusing in on. And people say, don't worry, it's being taken care of. We got the fix in. You know, you can imagine they're going to do those things to try to get you calmed down and stop doing what we're doing. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Because we do
exactly.
have the answer. Only the people can save America. I'm absolutely convinced of that. You're not going to get one small group that's going to create some kind of a grand jury that's going to go worldwide and start taking these elites down because they're going to laugh at them and just send them a little lead poison or something, and that's that. Believe me, only the people can save America. Only the people. And only America
Amen.
Can save the world, in my opinion.
Amen. I'm with that. I recommend... Anybody who has a pet favorite item that they're trying to work on, like Agenda 21, the chemtrails, or any other thing, that they just take their time and focus with the National Liberty Alliance Common Law Grand Jury, because once we get all these states constituted, then we can really make a difference. Everything else we're doing is just... Almost wasted work, wasted time compared to what we can accomplish with the NLA. That's my opinion.
Well, that's true. I wouldn't tell people to totally shut it down. Keep your eyes.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But
together. But absolutely right. Look, this is the we do. Look, I'll tell you what. This is a statement, and I can debate it with anyone. We got the magic bullet. Who would ever think there would be a magic bullet? What we do here is by doing what we're doing and getting access into the courts and taking control of the courts, we literally can shut every problem that America has down in no time at all. Agenda 21, no problem. Not a problem at all.
That's
we can shut them down in a heartbeat. Any of these new gun laws and stuff, forget about it. We'll shut it down in a heart. It doesn't matter whatever the problem is, the grand jury can deal with it, and they can deal with it swiftly. So,
amen.
This is the way to do it.
I still go to the Oath Keepers meeting. I still go to still go to the Tea Party meetings. I still go to my prayer meetings, my Second Chronicles 7:14 meetings. I still go to church. But my main focus with my work time is this.
That's it. I agree. That's the way to do it. I haven't been to other meetings in a while, but I'm planning on going to my local Liberty Group meeting in the next week or so. And by the way, I didn't mention this earlier. Let me mention this while I'm thinking about it. I forgot to put this on the list. On June 7th, that's next Saturday, we're having a big cookout, a barbecue in Columbia County. So anybody that wants to travel, I mean, we're not expecting people to travel across the nation, of course, but you know, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, you know, all those states around us, Pennsylvania. Definitely everybody in New York, you know, should come to this cookout. And it's going to be a full-day thing. You know, we'll probably speak a little bit. We have a couple of speakers. We're not going to spend a lot of time doing that, but we will maybe do an open forum or something, you know, questions and answers. And we're hoping to get some new people there, so, you know, we'll spend some time talking to them. But really, we're there to get to know each other, sit down, have a few burgers, spend the day, listen to some music. You know, we'll blast some music throughout the park. It's a huge place, big pavilion, a lot of cookers, kitchen, and tennis court, basketball courts, big open fields. You can play frisbee. The kids can bring their bikes and so on and so forth. And so anybody who wants to come, it'll be worth the trip, in my opinion. It's going to start early. It's going to be an all-day event. We're going to start at 10 in the morning is when we got the park from early on. So 10 o'clock is what we're saying we'll start at. And we're going to take it right to dusk. So it'll be an all-day event. So if you travel, you'll have an all-day event there, and hopefully a lot of people will come. But it'll give us an opportunity to get to know each other, to talk, and to organize and have a good time, enjoy ourselves a little bit. So all that information is up on the calendar on nationallibertyalliance.org. And if you click on the meetup group on the right side and click on get over to the meetup group, National Liberty Alliance meetup group, we're on that calendar too. If you sign up at the meetup group, you'll get the emails that come out of that email, that group, that meetup group. And but anybody that could make it, read the paper, you know, read the calendar. And then there's a phone number for you to call. Everybody needs to bring something, you know. Someone may bring bottled water, someone sodas, someone burgers, and so on and so forth. We just don't want to have too much of any one thing, so we need to organize that. So if you could make it, make it. Anyway, go right ahead.
Okay, no, that's about it. I'll let you go. God bless you, and may everybody be blessed by the Lord as they go constitute their counties and their state. See you later.
Amen. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, next caller, 646-957. Go right ahead, wireless.
Yes, this is Jonathan Ferris. I'm down here in Virginia. We're just getting started, and I wanted to ask my question in form of an invitation. You know, we're getting started. I wanted to let everyone know that they're invited to come on down here for our first meeting.
Okay. Anything else?
That's just it.
All right. Well, you know, get together. Are you a state coordinator or a county organizer down there?
I'm closely with Anna Yisley, our state coordinator.
Okay. Yeah, that's the key thing. Get connected with the state coordinator, and then he or she should be working to help everyone get connected in all of the counties and get meetings going. And again, meetings, if you get physical meetings going, it really should be focusing in towards organizing, getting to know each other a bit and organizing. But most of your best efficient meetings really would be phone meetings once a week at least, just for organizing. You know, you don't need to spend a lot of time, half hour is plenty, just to talk about what's the next thing you're doing, what's the next county you're going to focus in on, and just try to grow the group. And activity breeds more activity. That's the way it works. That's just the way of life. So go out and get organized and get constituting as many counties as you can, and that'll start to draw people in. So, okay?
Sure works for me. So you guys take care.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller, 801.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, I'm calling on behalf of my mother and father, who were swindled out of 600 acres in Warren County, New York, in 1970 by the grand architect of the current-day unified court system of the state of New York. And that would be the grand poobah of the New York State court system, Judge Richard Bartlett. The reason I'm calling is to report the criminal victimization, the theft, of approximately $25 million worth of real estate from my father, Clifford Witham, who is a United States Navy carrier pilot in the Second World War. My mother, Anita Farmelo Witham, was a nurse that served during the Second World War. The reason my father was targeted, he was an extremely high-level Mason, number one. Number two, he knew everybody that was anybody in several counties in the Warren County area. He had been in business so long that he knew everybody and their brother, including all the organized crime figures, like Doc Ferrone from Saratoga. Mr. Ferrone is very well known. Joseph Massiro, Damano in Glens Falls. And I can give you an entire list of names of the biggest, heaviest hitters in Underworld in northern New York. I grew up with them. I went to high school with their kids. But back to the reason I've called in.
Yep.
Robert Dale knows me. He just called in from Illinois. If he's still listening, believe me, they know Judson Witham. Now, what I've done is I've gone to the assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, Mr. Farik. You're familiar with him, correct, Mr. Derrick?
I'm familiar with him. We were going to give him a call ourselves, but go ahead.
He has subpoenaed from Governor Cuomo's office the records of the Moreland Commission. 1 week before Governor Cuomo shut down the Moreland Commission, I gave huge amounts of perfectly good criminal intelligence to investigators of the Moreland Commission as to how New York State targeted landowners in the creation of the Adirondack Park Blue Line. In other words, New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, in conjunction with the Sierra Club, created secret dossiers on landowners within the Blue Line. My parents being but one family that was targeted. I know this because I was physically knocked out of a chair, tackled to the floor, and the dossier file on my parents ripped out of my arms by an attorney who violently attacked me. Now, the reason I had the files in my hands, I'd written an open records request. I traveled to Albany from Lake George. I met with the attorney that authorized my access to the files. He took me down the hallway in the headquarters of the Environmental Conservation Building in Albany. He set me down at a table in a very large file room. He went to a filing cabinet. He got the files out. He handed them to me. He turned on the light, and he left the room. Then this other attorney came in, threatening and telling me I can't look at those files. And then he went and got a conservation officer who I explained I had permission to the files. The conservation officer, who was armed and in uniform, left. He didn't want any part of that action. When the armed ranger left, this attorney comes back in the room, and I'm physically attacked, and the files ripped from my hands. Long story made short, within 30 minutes, attorneys for the state of New York cut me a check for $2,500 payable to the Old Causeway Corporation. These are facts. This is criminal intelligence. I've gone to Kathleen Hogan.
Yeah, but, you know, the problem is that they're all criminals. The whole state is corrupt. It's RICO on steroids. And that's not even, that's not just a statement. That's a fact. And
I know. I agree.
Yeah,
but the criminal intelligence that I have, I've given to Kathleen Hogan, the district attorney for Warren County. I sent a series of emails.
I'll tell you what you can do. You know, New York has been fully constituted. I'm sure you know we're in the courts right now. We're in the federal courts. We're fighting.
I'm calling.
Yeah, we're moving the whole country and trying to get everybody to do what we have to do to get this job done. And as soon as this job is done, you're going to want to go see the people in Warren County that are going to administrate for the grand jury. and bring your story to them, and justice will start to prevail.
The issue that I'm bringing to light on this national Monday night call is that the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, the Assistant U.S. Attorney, Fareed,
yep.
he is going after the Marlin Commission. And
Do you
Governor
think that
Cuomo,
he's a good guy? Do you think he's honest? Do you think he's real?
I believe Governor...
Let me just say a word here. I've heard things about him. I've seen some big things he's done. But sometimes they throw bones to people like that so that it looks good, like someone's doing their job. And they're just as crooked as the rest of them. But I'm wondering, you know, I'd love to know whether this guy is real or not, because if he's real, I'm going to go myself. Maybe this week I'll go up and pay him a visit.
Everybody listening to this Monday night call, the governor of the state of New York created the Marlin Commission because of a vast outcry from the people of the state of New York of corruption in their bureaucracies across the state. When I contacted that Marlin Commission, I gave them abundant criminal intelligence. I told them repeatedly that I'll polygraph as many times as they want me to polygraph. I don't care how many times they want to polygraph me. And we'll talk about the assault in that filing. See, that filing room, there was literally dozens of five-drawer filing cabinets all lined up in a row. And when this attorney went over and he opened the filing cabinet, he got my parents' file. I didn't know where my parents' file was. I had no idea. Now, the point here is, John, the Harris Bay Yacht Club is the largest marina on Lake George, New York. That my parents built it. That's what was stolen from my parents. 600 acres, their business, their marina, their home, and everything they owned. And when my father went with my grandmother to redeem the property, he was violently, physically assaulted, slammed into a wall by Warren County Sheriff's deputies, and thrown in a jail cell. They don't have the jail records. They don't have any of the court records. My father filed an appeal. I have the docket card, but they can't find the record of the appeal. Now, what I'm telling you is that earlier this Agenda 21,
Before you go on to that, let me just ask you, this group, this committee, what did you say they were, a committee?
The Moreland Commission.
Right. Okay, what are they doing?
Governor Cuomo, within days after my report to the Moreland Commission, shut it down.
But of course he would, because he's a criminal. And,
because the cat was coming out, the genie was coming out of the bottle.
Right.
And now Fareed wants the Moreland Commission records because Fareed realizes that Cuomo didn't like something.
How do you know that Fareed is a good guy? Do you have any first-hand?
I don't. All I'm telling you is, John, I'm going to tell you something about me. My family's been here almost 400 years. They showed up about 150 years before. Before the United States occurred, the reality of what happened to my father and mother, I've pretty much told the sheriff of Warren County, and I've very definitely conveyed it to the Attorney General of the state of New York, Mr. Schneiderman, that illegal seizures and foreclosures on people's real estate
have
gone on for a very long time.
Yeah, he's another problem. Schneiderman's another problem.
He's a goofball. But here's the point.
They all are no good. I haven't met anyone anywhere with any authority that's got any goodness in them. They're all evil. They're all part of the game. They all protect each other.
I want to say to the NLA, anybody listening tonight, the governor of the Empire State of New York, in New England, okay? In Albany, the governor, Cuomo, creates this commission because there's this vast outcry from the people of the state of New York about corruption in the bureaucracies and in the courts across the state. And as soon as they get evidence, John, if I go to Albany and knock Governor Cuomo out of his chair onto the floor and rip from his hands investigative files and dossiers that were secretly created, I'm going to jail for assault on the governor. I can't do that.
Right. Well, and again, you know, this is not a surprise to us at all. We already know that they're all evil. And again, this guy, Parikh, look at it. If you get to know this guy and he's a real guy, you give me a call back and let me know, hey, this is how I know this guy's a real guy.
Well, John,
we decided not to go talk to him.
I'm
going to
end it by telling you this. Six million acres of real estate. The Adirondack Park was created by a conspiracy of exceedingly wealthy one percenters and their geologists and the people that wanted to control all that real estate.
Right.
And by God, you look it up, the Adirondack Park, and where did it come from?
Well, I wouldn't argue that point. I wouldn't argue
the
because...
The Temporary Study Commission on the Future of the Adirondacks in the 21st Century. That's where this Agenda 21 came from. It came from the mining president of American Metals Corporation, Hochschild Mining, that was handpicked by Nelson and Lawrence Rockefeller to head up this commission to take over the Adirondack Mountain Range.
Right. Well,
my
again,
parents were
funded
in it.
You've got all this information. Keep it. To, you
yes,
know,
I do.
What
it's
you do
on
to
video.
Continue, but I'll
I
tell
put
you,
it up on
when
YouTube.
Up,
it's on YouTube.
When
I'm gonna, John. I'm gonna leave you. I'm gonna leave it like this, John. There isn't a person on this planet that's going to stop me from exposing Bartlett and that whole little gang up in Warren County. There's not one person breathing on this planet
that
will stop.
That particular thing might have to be done by the unified grand jury, and not just by a grand jury within a county, but of course we would try that first. Well, I'll tell you what. No, it could be done by a county grand jury. It doesn't matter. Wherever the main focus is, that's where you could do it. But here's the thing, okay? You know, first order of business, once we get into power, and this is what we're fighting for right now, is to get into the courts and get the authority back that the people deserve. That this nation was created on. And once we get that back, you know, it's going
to
take 30, 40 days, 50 days,
we don't have
it takes
to get,
to get
it
things
we
into
don't have
order.
To get it back, John.
Hold on a minute. Once things are in order, then we'll be doing the business of the people for stories and things like you're talking about. And if you build your case, we'll let you come right into the grand jury and produce it straight onto the grand jury and convince the grand jury for an indictment. I'm sure they will indict, and we'll go after all of them. Look, these people have a lot of skeletons in their closet. I don't think many of them are going to be standing 6 months
this
after
we're
in.
This is why Mark Cuomo shut down the Moreland Commission. This is why he suddenly, just within days of me hammering the Moreland Commission on what went down in the 6 million acre Adirondack Park, within days, Cuomo shut it down.
Well, again, I think this is something that will eventually be taken care of once we get into power. The first order
it's
of business is getting the authority to be able to do it. There's nobody.
Conspiracy.
There's no place. Let me explain something to you, and I think you already know this anyway. There is no place you could take this problem and get justice. There's no place on the planet, no place in New York, no place. You can't even get into the federal district courts. You'll be thrown out. You'll never make it up to the U.S. Supreme Court because you'll never be able to hold the jurisdiction. They will play every dirty trick in the book.
Technically, I'm very aware of that. That's why I'm on this call tonight. Because...
Hold on a minute. Let me just finish my point, and I think you already know this anyway, but just for everybody else's sake, the only way to get justice in the problem that you're talking about, it's so big, the only way you're going to get justice is by the people's grand jury coming up and doing and going straight to the people, because once the indictments are in, people are going to be arrested, and I don't care who they are. They will be arrested once the grand jury indicts them, no matter
the
who
power,
they are.
The power of the grand jury to the people has never been repealed. It's possibly been superseded, but very unconstitutionally. The bureaucracies of government did not have the authority of the grand jury to begin with. That was always remained in the people.
Right.
And then in the early 1930s and 1940s, that's when they started sneaking in. The government took over.
Well, I agree with you, and I look. Let's get our work done. and then we could work with all the people, you and anyone else that's got a problem. Let me move on, because there are a lot more people on, and you've got a pretty big story. You've got a lot of it out there, and we'll see what we could do as life goes on. But first, we have to get the authority in the courts. Okay?
We have the authority in the courts. Thank you.
Well, okay, thank you. Okay, we'll take next person. Let's see. Looks like William, 559.
John, this is Jerry. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Jerry?
Good. I just wondered, I've been talking with some of the people back here just outside of Rochester, our little law class.
Yep.
And it's come to light that there is a court called the United States Court of Claims, or United States Claims Court. It's mentioned in Title 28 of the United States Code, and it starts at Section 1491. And it explains the jurisdiction of the court, and I think it may be something you want to look at, because I wouldn't be surprised, but with all their trickery, they may be maneuvering people into going into the wrong courts so that their cases can be thrown out without people understanding.
Well, let's put it this way. Here's the thing, okay? There really is no such thing as the wrong court. That really doesn't exist, with the exception, of course, of town courts and most city courts and, you know, these courts that are created by the lower part of government. Any court that's created by the state, any court that's created by the federal government, okay, must house, H-O-U-S-E, must house the law also, as well as whatever funny business they're doing. And so, you know, let's take the federal district courts. And believe me, I have racked my brain with this, because I've listened to a lot of people, and I was looking for different courts like a lot of other people were, and trying to figure out. And then it dawned on me in my studies and my research, wait a second, hold it. This is very simple. The United States, you know, the whole thing comes together under the contract, the United States Constitution. And Article 3 lays out the court structure, and any court that is created must accommodate the common law. Every single one of them, all of them, must accommodate the common law. And so even at sea, it must accommodate the common law. Admiralty law must accommodate the common law, although it's a different program in many ways. But if you, as one of the people caught up in a situation, you can call for the common law even there. Okay, so because the federal district courts, and we have three of them here, let me see, we've got one in New York City, Westchester 2, Albany 3, and we've got another 4. There are four federal district courts here in New York. And there are more courthouses, but there are four districts. And of those four districts, they were created by the Congress, by the legislature, United States legislature. And so every one of them have to have the equity and the law. If you read the Constitution, it talks about there shall be one United States Supreme Court, only one. And then there will be other inferior courts, as necessary, created by Congress under law and equity. Okay? So that's why I know that I can go into any federal court and I can push for the law side of the court. And this is where we're at. We're making this argument. And this guy that we're up against, I believe he's the Chief Justice of this district, and he's working overtime, because I'm sure his bosses have been telling him, you know, don't let these people in. He's working overtime to keep us out. But I am interested in this court to see that you're talking about. Maybe you can give me a call during a week, and I can get more information, and we can research it.
Okay, I'd be happy to, and I noticed on the Thursday night call you mentioned several different courts, including Admiralty, Equity, Maritime, so forth and so on.
Right.
And
right.
This particular one, I'm just going to read a short section of it. This is Section 1491 of Title 28.
Let me write this down. This is Title 28,
yep.
And this is number 1491.
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
And what it states is the United States Claims Court shall have jurisdiction to render judgment upon any claim against the United States founded either upon the Constitution or any act of Congress or any regulation of an executive department, and it goes on and on.
Well, that's interesting. I like that.
Well, I'm hoping I'll call you sometime this week, and we can talk about it again if you want.
Yeah, maybe that's a step we can move into in the next week or two. Let's say first I want to finish up and clean up in the federal courts we're at and the district courts. And then before we move to Washington, maybe that's a step we can move to, because it's always good to have that extra bite before you move to the top, you know. But I'd like to look at that. And do you think that they may be real, honest people? I mean, I don't know that can even exist in any judge in any courtroom anywhere in America anymore. I'm beginning to really get negative about this whole thing. That you know, the only real guys I think are the guys up on the Hill, you know, in Washington. And even they're dwindling out. You know, there's only so many of them left up there. They've been infiltrated by the commies and the Nazis too.
Well, frankly, I'm not proud to say that I have no confidence and no faith in any politician at any level, whether it's a
Well, I agree, but no, we're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, we're talking about Scalia, for instance. I mean, look at people have said a lot of bad things about Scalia. Some people say he's the enemy, and some, but I haven't seen it yet. Somebody showed me online where Scalia said that that the Second Amendment does not support the right for people. It does not give the people a right to have a weapon. Okay, and I can believe he said that. But what they did is they cut the rest of it out. He probably said is that it's an unalienable right. The Constitution doesn't give the people a right to get anything, and I agree with that. It supports them. It's supposed to. You know, give them authority to support, you know, they can use the Constitution, it's supported by the Constitution, but the rights don't come from the Constitution. So someone had bastardized what he had actually said. And I haven't really seen anything bad by Scalia. Now, there are some court cases I'm sure that he might have went on the wrong side with because of jurisdiction, and that's a major problem. Jurisdiction is a major problem in this country, because just about every case out there is in the fiction, and if it makes it to the Supreme Court, and I'm willing to bet you that people like Scalia don't even want to take those cases up there. They try to stay away from them, because if they get in, then they'd be making wrong decisions, and people will think that that identifies with the Constitution, and it really doesn't, you know, because it's all
right
about
now,
jurisdiction.
Right now, Scalia is instrumental in trying to block a case that is likely going to be brought before the Supreme Court, and it's the one that I've mentioned to you about the Posner case, where the true record of any proceeding in court is the audio recording master file.
Mm-hmm.
He and the 7th Judicial District, Posner is the name of the guy, he's the Chief Justice of that 7th Judicial District Court, and Scalia is trying hard to prevent that case from coming before the Supreme Court, because it will show without question the just gross and rampant falsifying of court transcripts that is going on every day at every level in every court, where they falsify the transcripts. The only true record that can be brought up on appeal is the master audio recording, and they don't want people to know that because it will destroy their corrupt court system. And just a word on the Second Amendment. I believe that the last clause of the Second Amendment, it says, shall not be infringed. That basically makes that Second Amendment a prohibition of any legislative body from infringing upon a pre-existing, constitutionally protected, not constitutionally given, but it's a prohibition on any legislative body from tampering with the gun rights just because of exactly what we're involved with today.
Well, I agree with you. It's unfortunate that we've been so de-educated, though, that we don't even realize, you know, shall not be infringed. I mean, look at what does infringed mean? The fact that I would have to wait, the fact that they would make me wait a day in order to get a weapon is an infringement on my right. And we know with the computers out there today, if they're really concerned about somebody who shouldn't be getting a gun, and they got them on record, they're going to be checking the records for someone who's really mentally disturbed or someone that's a criminal that really shouldn't have one, then that shouldn't take any more than, goodness, 10 seconds, put a name in and hit the button. because we know how fast Google works, don't we? I'm sure their machines work a lot faster or just as fast as Google or anything else. It's a computer, my God. You know, every time I go to add a weapon, they also not only make me wait to get onto the card, but they also make me wait when I go there. They I'm being watched by the FBI, and I got to wait another 5 days.
Right.
Every single time.
Right.
Well, and I don't ever get removed.
Right. If I get a chance, I'll give you a call later this week, and we can talk more about this.
Try to find the time to do this. I want to talk to you about this. I want to get more info on this.
I absolutely will. And for all your effort and all the people who are working hard to make National Liberty Alliance work.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Bye.
Okay. Let me go up to the next call here. Let's see. Next caller, wireless caller, 863. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yep.
John.
Yes.
Yeah, this is John Drzezinski here in Hollins County. Two quick questions.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Do we have a new date for the New York case?
Well, no, we're not pushing for a date anymore. We're just pushing for the papers to be signed. The thing we sent them, they was due by today. And, you know, we'll give them another day or two. It doesn't matter. We're trying to organize to get something written up anyway. So we're not going to respond to them until maybe towards the end of the week. It depends on how fast all of the other people in the other states, the state coordinators that have constituted their states, how fast they can get the unified seals and get the paper, get a seal on the paper with a signature and get it out to us. And then we're going to do our next paper. We're going to do the paper. We'll be waiting, really. I'll get the paper done in the next day or two anyway. But then we'll be just waiting for the seals, because I want to go in there with 12, 14, 15 seals, whatever we can get, not just New York, but we want to get them all, you know, Florida, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Arizona, Massachusetts, all the states that are done, and the states that are coming up to be done. You know, we got West Virginia that's going to be done. We got, Delaware is going to be done. And there's a few other states. So we'd like to get them all the seals, and get them all over there and get it done with and get them in. So that'll be the next one. But we're not looking no longer to get a day in court. We don't really don't need one. We were doing this to show the force. We're going to do it in a different way. But if we go to Washington, if we have to go in numbers, we'll go in numbers. But I don't think we'll have to do that either. Let's see what happens and how it goes. Telling them to sign the paper because it's
another,
law.
Another quick question. Have any of the 600 counties had any positive feedback from their sheriffs? Do we have any sheriffs?
We got some here and there. I got a call from a sheriff, a guy that's running for sheriff. I've heard of some good sheriffs. But I haven't heard very particular. Well, I've heard stories from other people that they get along good with their sheriffs. So I don't know if anybody wants to come on and tell us about sheriffs. But sheriffs, they're not educated. They're as dumb as we are. They need an education. They need a re-education just like we do. That's why National Liberty Alliance is here. Which reminds me, by the way, now that we're talking about that, we're trying to set up to get this, get the necessary things done to get our testing up there. We've got the course pretty much completed. It's close if it's not completely done. I got a lot of the course already, and I'll have to check in with Kathleen to see where we're at with that, what's left. But we need to pay for the technical side of it to actually get it up there. It's about 120 hours, that's a guess, about 600 questions, again, that's a guess. And anybody that wants to be administrator, they got to go through that course. And you know what? We're going to require sheriffs to go through that course. They're going to have to come out to National Liberty Alliance and take that course. And if they're not going to take that course, they certainly are not going to be supported as sheriff any longer. And any sheriff who refuses to learn about the Constitution because they're purely ignorant of it, we just only need to go ask them a few questions and see they don't understand it. And ask them some questions about, you know, breaking a constitutional law. If a judge does this or a prosecutor does that, are you going to arrest them? Well, I don't know. Well, then you don't know the Constitution. Because if you knew the Constitution under these circumstances, you would arrest them. You need to take this course. And so we need these people, all of them, any oath taker, especially in the judicial process, needs to take this course. So when they see a law being broken, they need to be able to deal with it.
I was asked to ask you about the jurist handbooks. We ordered 100, and we have no word on them yet.
Right. We haven't hit our quota yet to get that done yet either. You know, we got some people who promised some money. We did get a little bit of money. We paid a lot of bills off. We got some more little bit of money coming in soon. We don't know how much, and we're going to pay the, you know, do what we got to do with that. I'm not sure whether we'll push the books or push. I'm in between getting the books because they're both important to get them done and out. And then on the other side, we've got to get the education going. We have to get people moving on the education. So, again, anybody who's not giving, you know, if you can give $5, $10, $20 a month, you know, it'd be very much appreciated by everybody in this system. This doesn't work without money. I don't have the money to pay for these things. So we have to get money from the people. If someone out there has a good amount of money, would like to give us a nice piece of money, hey, we'll take it. We have a lot of work we can get done. But we do have people who are trying to work with us and trying to work with people to get us money. And you know, no organization could do anything without money. So we're still short from ordering. We can't order yet because we have to hit a quota in order to get it at the price. I'm very surprised that we haven't hit that quota yet. It isn't moving as fast as I hoped it would. I'm surprised. The other thing, again, with the course, we have to get moving on that. And that too cost money to actually get the technical side of it done. So,
okay, well, thank
you. As soon as it happens, we'll get them out. And we'll be sending out an email blast saying the books have finally arrived and they're moving and they'll be going into the mail. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next caller. Let's see, 910. You got the mic. 910.
This is George McClellan in North Carolina.
How you doing, George?
I'm doing fine, and we'll be going down and taking care of six counties on Friday.
Can you get closer to your mic or to your phone? Because we can barely hear you.
Oh, okay. We'll be going. I'll be going down to Southeast North Carolina, and we're going to be constituting six counties on Friday.
Great.
But the reason I call is, of course, I'm behind you 100%. I'm a retired minister of the Christian Church. And, of course, we believe in God. So you've got to remember that many of the people who signed the Constitution were deists. They weren't necessarily Christian. They were deists. And we're, by stressing the Bible and the Christian part of it, we're cutting a lot of people out that might be very important to us. So I think we'd be better off referring to the Creator God, which many religions recognize and wouldn't have a problem with. But when you start using the Bible, then unfortunately you've got a lot of people that just will turn you right off, even though they...
Yeah, no, I appreciate... I appreciate what you're saying, and I've given it some thought. You know, I'm a Bible teacher. I've been one for quite some time. My focus has really been here now. I haven't been doing much teaching in the Bible, but I still study and read. And I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe God didn't put me here, because my focus needs to be on God and not on other things. And when I started looking into what was going on, and I realized that the word justice was synonymous with virtue, which identifies with God, and as I started to study common law and the jury and all these things, I started to realize it leads us all back to the Bible. You know, common law comes from the Bible, and, you know, it starts out in Mosaic law. And I've been to places where the, you know, areas where a lot of Jews or places where a lot of Muslims, you know, down in Staten Island, we went to some Muslim neighborhoods. And in talking, you know, we mentioned the Bible and we mentioned quotes and we even mentioned Jesus in some of these places. And at the, you know, when we got into the conversation part of it, I started to ask these people, you know, were they insulted by that? And all of them said, no, not at all. You know, I found out from talking to people, the general public, generally, you know, the Jews think that, for instance, Jesus was a good man and he got great teachings. And so they believe in his word's sake, in the sense of what he's saying, because what he's saying is absolutely dead on. And the Bible says for those people, you know, believing in Christ for his word's sake, you know, in other words, believing in his words, there's a blessing in it for them. Now, the Muslims, they believe that Jesus is a prophet. And they believe, so they believe in the New Testament, they believe in the Old Testament, and they have other things also, but they do believe that those books come from God. And we all have the same roots in those roots, you know, Muslims, Jews, Christians, you know, we all have the same kind of a root anyway. We come from the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible. And I try not to do too much of it, but I do bring it up because I believe if we don't give glory to God and we don't turn to Him and learn His principles, and we can't learn His principles, you know, you can't learn from a father if you don't go to your father. And if you don't have a father, the word for that is you're called a bastard. You don't, you're fatherless. And so we have to go to the source. And so that's why I bring the Bible in, and I bring it in often. I bring a lot of Old Testament stuff, and because that kind of balances out for most of us. But I don't shy away from the name of Jesus, though. I just don't say that too often in this particular environment. And I also try to, if I'm going to do anything, usually do it in the beginning. You know, some people said maybe we should start things off with a prayer and recognizing and acknowledging God from that standpoint. And I decided to really edify, so I figured let me do some Bible verses. And that in itself is a prayer because of the Bible verses. The focus is on God. And it edifies us because really, you know, what we read today, for instance, out of Proverbs, I mean, who can argue with that, you know, that to incline your ear unto God and believe in Him. And that to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I mean, who can argue with those things and the sound wisdom, which is the righteousness of God, and He is our shield. And I think all people that believe in God can acknowledge that. But if we have to sacrifice people because they get upset with that, I mean, I've heard Jews talk about God, and I never get insulted. I say amen. And I'll tell you what, some of the most humblest people that I've met, this is going to be a surprise to a lot of people, and what appears to be most godliest people I've met are Muslims. And I'm not talking about radicals or anything. I had some friends, you know, down in a city, and they're Muslims, and they know more about the Constitution than most people I know. They seem to live a better life than most Christians I know, and they have no problem with me talking about Christ or about God in any way, and I have no problem with them either. So we have to work that out. We can't leave God. If we leave God out of this thing, then we have nothing, because, you know, Benjamin Franklin who said this: man will serve either God or tyrants.
I didn't say leave God out. God is definitely there.
Right, but we all have to express God the way we understand Him, and we do the best we can. And, you know, the Old Testament is the Word of God. I believe that. That's coming from the mouth of God, and that's where we have to go to, is the mouth of God to get truth and wisdom and understanding. And the New Testament is from the mouth of God, too. But the Bible, let's just say the Bible. And our founders believe the same thing. I know you mentioned deists, but I haven't found that. And I don't know who came up with that idea, but it is kind of popular. I didn't see that in Jefferson. I don't see Jefferson as a deist. I've read his autobiography, and I understood what he was doing when he wrote the Jefferson Bible. People misunderstood why he wrote the Jefferson Bible. Jefferson was trying to get the philosophical Jesus up into the great books, and he wanted the philosophical Jesus right in the great books. That's why he didn't want to write the book himself. He was trying to get someone else to do it because he knew that people would relate him as because he removed the miracles from there, and he knew that could be damaging to him, and he knew that he was an important figure in history. He knew who he was. He understood his position, and he was trying to be careful, and he couldn't get anyone else to do it, so he did it himself. And that's why he wrote that book. And I know people call him a deist because of that. Washington, again, another man, I just don't see him as being a deist. I don't see a lot of these guys. Now, some of them were atheists. Some of them were not necessarily so godly, but they did believe in God. But a lot of them, they were very godly, and they believed. And they acknowledged the fact that without the grace of God, we wouldn't be here. I mean, look at the Constitution. what the purpose of the of government, read right into the Constitution in a preamble, is for the blessings, to protect the blessings of liberty. That's the purpose of government, okay?
Yeah,
and the blessings of liberty means that God has to bless you to have liberty. They acknowledge that right there in the preamble. And how do you get the blessings of liberty? You have to be in the will of God. And how can you be in the will of God but to be under the Word of God? Now, I know other people think you can get under the will of God outside the Bible, and there may be stepping stones, but they have to end up at some point to the Word of God, because if the Bible is the Word of God, then it's the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, then it's not the Word of God. It either is or it isn't. And for those of us who understand that it is, we can't ignore it or set it aside. And we can't go forward without it. Otherwise, we'll be cursed.
Well, the I didn't mean to get you into a tirade on that. I just meant the, you know, we have to respect people. People, a lot of people believe in God that are not Christian, and we don't want to shut them out. That's all.
Yeah, well, okay. As far as, you know, I'll tell you another thing I was told, by people who think that they're atheists, and they really aren't atheists, because I don't know that I've ever met an atheist. They think they're agnostics. And they said, look, you keep bringing this thing up with God, and you keep talking about the Bible and bring these verses up, you're going to lose 20% of the people. And I said, well, okay, then maybe I'll gain 80. I think we're better off gaining 80 than 20. If we don't sew this thing up with God, justice is synonymous with virtue. Virtue comes from the Bible alone. And if we don't tie it together, then we're going to be cursed for it. And we can't have virtue if we don't go to the source of virtue. So we have no choice but to go there. I don't have a problem with that. But if we lose people because of that, I don't know what else to say. You know, there's other things, other positions I can hold, and we're going to lose people for those positions. And I'm not telling anyone how to believe. I'm not telling anyone what they have to do. I'm revealing my research, whether it be my godly research or whether it be the worldly research. I'm revealing it, and I'm telling people, look, if you want to get a grand jury going, you need to go through the process and procedures that have been set up by the courts and the Constitution and all of our constitutions, and go through the process the right way.
Not the courts, because the courts. About the Constitution. Not
well, there
are the
rules of the court, there's procedures of the court, there's processes and everything we have to go through, and that's what we follow. And so you have to go that way. And on the other hand, you know, if you're going to do things and bring righteousness, well, you got to go through the rules and the process and the procedures of righteousness. You know, God sets up laws, and he also sets up statutes. And, you know, the laws of God, you pay for it in this world when you break God's law. When you break his statutes, you may not pay for that until you go into the world to come. The Christians, the true believers, and Jews and Muslims, the true believers in the Bible, they try to obey even the statutes, not just the law of God. Okay, but you have to acknowledge these things. We built this whole thing on three principles: a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And to really understand those three things, in my opinion, my humble opinion, you have to go to the Bible for that. And I think all the major religions of the world share the Old Testament, so we're on pretty good grounds for most of the people. At least that's my opinion. But I'll tell you the truth. If I was silenced from being able to bring this forward and people left or pressure came upon me, I'd walk away from this because I'd have nothing to do with it. Because that's how... This is not going to work without God. That is my absolute, not 99% surety of that. That's 100% surety. If we don't get the blessings of God, we are not going to succeed. And if I were to be silenced from bringing forth his word from time to time, I would have to leave. I just wouldn't be here.
Well, God is essential. We all agree there.
Right.
God is essential. And
people express him as the... We had a person on the call not long ago. They come from another perspective, and they spent quite a bit of time on the mic talking about something totally alien to the Bible, and they had their say. You know, fine. You know, I'm not going to debate it and argue and say they're wrong. That's not my place to do. Again, we have to find common grounds, and I do know the common grounds in some of the writing, for instance, in the Declaration of Independence, nature's God. You know, the original words that we used was Jesus. But they came up with the determination to use nature's God because they didn't want the Jews, the Muslims, or anyone else to feel left out there. And they were right. I agree with them. They were right.
Okay. Well, some other things I could say, but in the religion area, the freedom of religion was forced in by Rhode
Island. Can you get closer to the mic? It's hard to hear you.
I said the freedom of religion came in the Constitution because of Rhode Island holding out until they added the freedom of religion, because when the country was organized, if you weren't a member of the established church in your town, you could have been ridden out on a rail.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I wanted to say is you need to be aware, I think you are, that the judges all are well aware that they are as illegal as they can be, and that their courts are illegal. But
right.
Yeah,
they're aware of that. I know that they are, because they, from time to time, they get the clash of the Constitution, and they work overtime to silence it and to erase it. And they're all partners in this erasing of information. As was mentioned a little earlier, they're constantly expunging things out of the stenographer's notes there, so the records are never really right in a lot of cases. So they remove stuff. They remove papers all the time. I've had cases, my own case, where papers were removed. Plus, they've removed right in front of our face what we're doing as the grand jury. They removed from the files. I mean, they have no. They really think they're untouchable. They really do.
Anytime you go to court, you need to take your own stenographer.
Well, I know of a case where even that didn't work, because remember, a stenographer still wants to get work. And if it's a real case that this judge really wants to make sure goes the right way, they could approach that stenographer and say, which is probably what happened in this case I'm going to talk a little bit about. I'm not going to reveal who or where or why or what. But the stenographer was hired by someone to take the notes, and when the notes came, when a copy was received, there was like 12 points, major points that were missing. And thankfully, the person also had a recording of it, that they were able to get a recorder in the courthouse and recorded it on their own. So they know exactly what it is. Now, they haven't approached that stenographer yet, but they paid for that person to come in to do the right thing so they'd have the right to true account of what took place in that courtroom. So if that stenographer left out major points of the case that worked for the person who paid for them to do it, that the only thing that could possibly be is that they were gotten to by the officers of that court. The judge got to them, or someone got to them. And that's how bad it is. It is that bad. For those who haven't really had any experience inside the courts, it's that bad. But I think a lot of people with National Liberty Alliance are here because they've got a little experience in the courts, and they're seeing what a major, major problem is going on here. Whether firsthand or secondhand information, watching people go through the court system and seeing the injustice. And the people who have the most experience realize how bad it really is. This is not a joke. This is not just a saying. It's not just a flinging of words. New York, I get to speak for New York courts because that's what I know. And I'm sure the problem is everywhere. Well, I know it's everywhere because I hear back from other people. So they have it as bad as we have it. But I'm telling you right now, this is RICO on steroids. And that is not just words coming out of my mouth. I really, truly mean this. This is what's going on in our courts. It's that bad. It is huge, huge problem. And we got to fix it. And,
well, we're going to have to have the blessings of God in order to get this thing accomplished.
Amen to that. There you go. And if you don't lift up God, he's not going to lift you up. And you know what? Just the fact that we're lifting up doesn't mean he's going to do our will and give us what we're hoping for, because we can hope for the best, but he may have a whole new different plan for us, and we don't even know what that is. But we need to be doing the right thing. And that's why I'm here. I was led here. I didn't come here in any – I was – I don't even know how I got here, to be honest with you. But in any event, here I am, and if I'm not focusing in on what I believe is truly righteous, I'm not going to bother with it. And so I really believe what I'm doing.
Well, I do too, or I wouldn't be in it.
Well, amen. All right, well, anything else? We've got other callers.
You have a good evening.
All right, I appreciate the call. Thanks. Okay, next caller, Neptune 49, is it? Let's see. Go right ahead, Neptune.
Hello, John. How are you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
Outstanding. I just had a short comment to make.
You got a bad mic. You must be coming in off the internet, huh?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, your mic is bad. It's crackling, but we'll try to get you. Go ahead.
Not any better?
Go ahead.
Reason I came online, I just wanted to say that I took your advice that you've given us about
I can't understand anything you're saying. Your mic is that bad. Gerard, are you here? Can you understand him? You know, it sounds like you got a bad connection. The mic is probably shot. Try it again. You might want to call in on the phone and for the next time get a new mic, because I just can't understand anything you're saying. So I'm going to have to move to the next caller. Try calling back. Call in on the phone and come back in on the mic. All right, next caller, 201 Jersey. Is that you, Jay?
Yes, it's me, Jason Berg. John, thank you very much for doing a magnificent job. I wish we had more time to come up to your program for the state. Unfortunately, we made other events things. We can't get out of it. But
sure.
I'd like to be able to say that I've tried to reach out to even my executive director in my county. Again, no one's answering me because, again, I'm dangerous because I'm common law and, you know, anyway, I'm going to write him a letter and just to keep him on target, because remember, as we know, if they don't say anything, they agree and they're in full compliance with their ignorance.
Right.
And now, the level, will there be salaries for the Unified Common Law Grand Jury administrators, and will be there also for the counties?
Say that again.
Will there be a salary for Unified Common Law Grand Jury administrators, and will they be the same for as the rest of the other counties?
Well, yeah. Right now there are people administering to the grand jury, the court system. Let's take New York, okay, because I know New York. The court system itself under the wing of the judges at some point, but they have people they're hired that bring people in and they give them the test, and then they have people that orientate them and they do a lot of psychological stuff on them. Just if you ever read those questionnaires, it's all psychology. They want to know everything about you, and then they decide whether they're going to use you or not. Now, on the other hand, that's with the trial juries. On the grand juries are done by the prosecutors. So the prosecutor's office in the counties, they handle calling together and pulling together. I know different counties may do it differently. For instance, Greene County, I think the county clerk up there is also the commissioner, or he pulls together the grand jury. But these people are paid positions. Obviously, we're going to be doing this full-time, and so we have to be paid. So, yes, there's a professional salary involved. We would put in for a budget through the controller. We would take control of whatever. Once we get into the courts, we would take control of whatever is left of the budget that was applied for by the court and by the prosecutors. We would have to open an account, a checking account in order to pay bills. We'd have to move the monies into that account, and we'd have to give account of it on a quarterly or however often is required by law. As far as the payment, the salaries themselves, it would be a professional salary, and it's a very decent salaries. I did look some things up on professional salaries. I'll have to, get that information, and I'll get it up on the website under the jurors page. I don't think I have anything up there now. I might, but if I don't, I'll get something up there. But remember, we're beginners, so we start at the low end. We don't give ourselves the highest salaries. And of course, before you, you know, you start at the lowest end, and then once you get through the course, you know, you should be able to get a little more money. And we have to be honest about this. You know, we have to police ourselves. There are four people in every county, and some counties there's more. And we'll have to keep each other honest. And,
right.
You know, we don't go to the highest rate at any given time. To, you know, we start off meager.
Well,
but
that's
yes,
really,
there is
John,
a payment, there is a salary. It's a professional salary.
Right. So basically, say the salary is $100,000, you start off with $25,000 and you're taking your course, and then you get the 25% and then 50%, and the salary goes up then to the last salary guideline, so that that way you will step into it. But my real question here
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I would
right.
say, I would think that... generally speaking, the salaries would start somewhere between $60,000 and $80,000 a year. But bear in mind, you know, the salary differences, you know, someone living in New York City would have a higher rate than someone living out of New York City because the cost of living is different. So there are charts out there that I had. I'll have to go look them up if I didn't save them and put them up online, that gives these kind of salaries. And then there are percentage changes in rates depending on if you're living in New York City or if you're living someplace else. You know, there's an adjustment ratio. You know, I'm familiar with this kind of stuff from construction because in construction there's also adjustment ratio and costs, considering the cost of living and different other things that changes the prices of things. You know.
Mm-hmm, that's good. Now, one thing that we also have to start thinking about is working towards sustainability. Again, our economy is not set up for that. And if we're thinking about sustainability, we are being more flexible and more concerned and being better stewards of our planet Earth and of being more productive with our resources. I mean,
well, you know, and look, we don't have to go crazy on this and become environmentalists. I mean, we should all be a little bit of an environmentalist. We don't throw our trash in the streets, you know, and we flush our waste down the toilet, you know. So we're not going to destroy the land or anything. The bottom line, you see, common law fixes everything because you see, if there's a wrongdoing and someone sees it and they make a complaint, we got to fix it. And obviously, you know, if someone is polluting, obviously it's a wrongdoing. It's got to be fixed. You know, you got to stop it. So all of that will. Common law is beautiful. Common law is the best thing, best system we can set up because it has a fix for everything.
Yeah, and that's yeah. true. I'm looking at like when people are talking here about the corruption of the courts, our sheriffs. We have one of our people in Nassau County had her mother's house taken from the courts, and with all the evidence that was there, the judges didn't even bother to look at the evidence, which actually, and it's a crime, and against justice, and even the legal system they set up, it's so. Corrosive and so repugnant. And Lydia Radin found some documents of our oaths for our justices, and she's going to be using that effectively to get back at these individuals for their repugnantness. So I'm just can't wait to get that back to you and Gerard there. But again, another thought with the proposal of our economy collapsing, and the banks, the commercial banks will be known and won't be there. We should really start thinking about a people's bank, people's union bank. I'm sorry.
I have a theory, and it's only a theory. You know, well, first of all. When we get, I can only think of one state, New York, because that's where I live. And if everyone's doing the same thing in their state, they're going to do the same thing, or they may tweak it a little different, however. But look, at the bottom line, the Constitution requires that the only legal tender is gold and silver. That's it, period. End of subject. That's the Constitution. That's a requirement. That's a law. That's the real law. And so we have to go to our Congress in our state, you know, we've got to go up to the senators and to the assembly and say, look, you guys are not obeying the Constitution. You have to require only gold and silver to be legal tender here in New York because that's what the Constitution requires. Now go do your job, and if you refuse to do your job, we're going to remove you from office. I mean, that's one of the things we have to correct. And we have to correct them very quickly because, you see, once we move back to gold and silver, there's plenty of junk silver out there. For anyone who doesn't know what junk silver is all of your quarters, your silver quarters and dimes and half dollars and dollars. You know, that's junk silver. There's tremendous amounts out there. I save in junk silver. You know, I don't save in worthless, you know, debt, you know, federal notes because it's just debt. When it collapses, that's going to be worthless. So, but I save in silver. Not that I have much, but I have a little bit here and there, and I save. And but you can get silver. Now, once New York turns to only gold and silver, any money that enters into New York has to be changed to gold and silver.
Right.
So junk silver, in particular, will be the focus. And but gold will suffice, and platinum and other metals. You know, even nickel and copper. That's money, pennies and nickels. You know, the real pennies and the real nickels, they're still available out there. So we'll start to become a magnet to coins, and because we'll require that. Now, I can tell you that all of the banks will not be able to survive that because they're all making their money illegally. The only banks that are going to survive that are the credit union banks, the ones that belong to the people. And those credit union banks will probably buy up some of the other banks that's going to go under business. They'll take not buy the banks up, but they'll take over some of their structures in order to maintain a banking system. And I think this can happen very quickly. I think, you know, because when you have a solid system set up with a good foundation, once it stabilizes, it'll just skyrocket out there like a business. You know, it'll just explode. So New York, if we do it, and Jersey does it, and Pennsylvania does it, but the first states, I mean, they're just going to become a magnet to all the real monies.
Right.
And that'll shut the whole system down. If we can move quick enough into that position, remember, we just took the power and the wind out of the elite.
Right.
We may very well be able to prevent the plug pulling. I don't know that we can do that, but we certainly hope that we might be able to. You see, remember, the elite don't act haphazardly. They plan everything. And when their plans fail, they go back and they meet and they discuss. So it takes them time. And they do have a plan A, B, and C, of course. But right now they're looking for a way to pull the plug. There's no doubt about that. And they know they have to do it soon because things are getting too heated up for them. But if we can beat them out, and for them to react might take them 30, 60 days to react, and it may be enough time that when they get to the point when they decide what they're going to do and then try to execute it, it may be too late, and they'll be on the run instead of pulling the plug. I really don't know how this is going to work out. I'm taking guesses. But, you know, we need to try to do whatever we can and stabilize our communities, stabilize our counties, get the stabilized, particularly through the sheriff and the people working together, keeping the resources within our counties, letting the excess resources flow from county to county and eventually state to state in times of emergency. Bartering will be the key thing. And anybody that's got, you know, metals, that will eventually come to an exchange. And, you know, that's the only way we're going to be able to survive this time. It's coming. There's no doubt about it coming. And I don't know how much we can cut off of it, but we better get our job done so that we can deal with this problem.
Right. And I just want you to know that New Jersey, I'm right now be ordering our unified seal. So New Jersey's on board for that, and along with any other counties that we have leadership in there, trying to get the word out. Again, in New Jersey, that's a thought. It's unconstitutional in the sense that in order to do a recall, you need 25% of the whole.
A
recall in New Jersey requires 25% of the whole, and 75% are apathetic. And the thing is that if we can't. I understand.
Well, when you say, are you saying in order to get it onto the ballot to actually happen,
no,
or to actually make the recall?
due to recall, say I was involved in recall in 2010.
Right.
In the state, and written in the state constitution in New Jersey, which is repugnant, you need 25% of the whole 100% who are registered voters, yet only 25% vote. And
yeah,
again,
so that's all BS anyway. Look at it. That's a wrongdoing. Look at you. I'll tell you how you can get a recall going. A recall is very simple. If we can recapture the committee men back, well, first of all, there's a quick recall. It's called the grand jury. Okay. If we got to get rid of someone, you get rid of them there that way. But if you had to go through it in a political sense, in a political way, it's got to be done by the committee men. It's only a matter of getting X amount of signatures. So you get a good amount of signatures. I think you would probably have to say you would need a percentage of the signatures of whatever the voting was that got that person in office. And then as far as getting rid of them, whoever comes out and votes, popular vote rules, that's it. All the rest of them, to hell with them, because anything else is all they're doing is trying to prevent people from being taken out of office. Why are they protecting wrongdoers? Forget about
well,
it. But anyway, the grand jury will deal with that anyway. We won't even have to worry about recall.
This is being on one little point. Like, you work for the last 10 going 11 months. I met Gerard at Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and we were on that show. And last month was the 10th month, and I was looking at Patrick Henry's Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death. We've read that many times, and there was a point in there. We've given all good things to wait for 10 years. Now we're working on it 11th month, and I know you want to go through everything, but my philosophy or my directive would be to file our papers and start doing affidavits and having these people who are the clerks of the court arrested for their lack of filing our papers, which is a felony. And
remember, they're as dumb as we are. You know, we've got to be a little more careful with the clerks. And once the law and order is in, they're all going to be frightened and do the right thing. Fear is the beginning of obedience, you know. And so let them fear us, and they'll be obedient, and everything is well. If we have to get rid of them for people making complaints and bringing things up that has to be dealt with, I don't think you're going to have that much of a problem with clerks. Clerks are going to go the way the wind goes. But what we have to do is we have to start educating the clerks we have and our children, so that when they become clerks or whatever they're going to become in life, they're able to do the right thing also. It's the judges that are the problems, and I think what we're going to end up is really cleaning house. From all that I can tell as we're going through this process, well, every one of them are guilty, man, and they're all going to, you know, we don't have to go in to throw them out and to indict them all and get rid of them. We don't have to do that, because we can force them to obey the law and do the right thing, watch them like a hawk, and once the people start bringing in their complaints, I think they're going to be bailing out, early retirements, which they'll never get because they're going to end up being fugitives and running, and I think that's how bad it's going to get. That's what I think is going to happen.
Oh, great. With that, thank you very much, John, for your time with me and what you're doing for us, and Godspeed, and God bless us for our endeavors, and God doesn't make mistakes for us. And to paraphrase the gospel of the red man, the reason why the white man society is collapsing is because of his materialism and worship of things. And when you worship things, you have no heart. And the whole purpose of our lives as human beings are to be servants to our brothers and sisters, and to be humble and to be joyful in what we do. Only about maybe 5% of the people who have their jobs love it. The rest of the 95% hate their jobs. And
You may be right. So I don't know.
And what
I've
we are doing
do
here, everyone
I
who's
like.
On this line, what's the number right now? I got 138 was when I got on. Is the number still up there?
I don't. What do you mean? What number?
The number of callers. I'm just curious.
Oh, right now there's 144 callers online.
God bless the 144. And
that's a good
John,
number, too.
Yeah.
It's a biblical
that's a good
number.
that's number nine. Number nine. I mean, bring that up.
How much is
in our bank book for our for 10,000 copies, which is actually about $4,200. How much are we there by?
We have about. You mean how much money have we collected for the booklets?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
We've got about $6,000 collected, roughly. That's just a rough. I'm not sure, a little under, a little over. But we need about $10,000 to actually make the order, $11,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. I'd have to go look exact, but that's very close.
All right, good. You should post that. And, hey, John, maybe
We've got someone who's going to send some money and commit to some money, and they're going to give us money, providing we do what we did last time. They will give dollar for dollar. And so we will post a goal up on whatever they give us or offer us, shall I say. Then we're going to put that as a goal and try to get people to match that. And that's how they want to give money. So it's a good way. We appreciate that. It gets everybody involved, too.
All right. Well, thank you, John. And one more thing. Folks, there's no excuse. Get out of your own way. It's easier than you think. The rules are there. John has put them in there. And if you can't comprehend the easiness and the sincerity of this project, please let someone else do it, because it is so simple. And I took me 6 months or seven, 6 months. I started in November and I finished up in March. I lost 2 months trying to work with other people. I would have been done before some other people. But again, it is so simple. It's just following following the numbers in a dot sketchbook. It's that simple, folks. God bless you,
yeah.
John. God bless America.
Yeah, Jason, you're talking about the getting the elections done in your counties, right?
Yeah, your counties and the state.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It is so simple. It is. Anybody can do this. So
right.
The paperwork, you just got to be careful with. That's all.
Make
and
sure
it's pretty simple.
That.
Print it out and just make sure you curtail it for your county and your state. It doesn't get any more difficult than that.
Right.
All right, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
Bye bye.
Bye
bye.
Okay, Gina, go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
This is Gina from New Jersey.
How you doing?
All right. I just want to say you're doing a wonderful job, and we're moving right along. I'm just going to be brief. I'm not going to go on and on. Basically, when you talk about RICO on steroids, that's a really profound statement.
Yes, it is.
And me personally, you know, I mean, I've heard about people going through things, but if I hadn't personally experienced what I have experienced, I wouldn't know that it is beyond bad. It's ridiculous.
Yes. You can't believe. Yeah, anybody who hasn't experienced the court cannot really know how bad it really is. I weep sometimes because some of the stories, because it's not just money and land that's ripped off, and it is, it's just unbelievable, but it's your children. People are losing their children.
I lost my children.
That's how that is. You did?
I lost my children. I mean, they came, when they talk about other countries with human trafficking and all that, it's going on right here.
That's right, absolutely.
And they're using Child Protective Services as the guise of, oh, we're protecting
people,
the children.
People
no,
find
that's,
that hard
that's,
to believe. People find that very hard to, they don't believe what you're saying, but I'm going to tell you right now what she is saying is absolutely true. Anybody who hasn't experienced the family court system has no clue what's really going on. It is a horror story. I have no words. I'm out of words.
Yeah, it is. And once they target your children, they go after them with a vengeance. I mean, whatever they have to do, whatever type of documents they have to fabricate, forge, or whatever, whatever lie they have to tell, I mean, and they come at you like it's unbelievable, you know. And if people don't believe it, I mean, I have evidence to prove. I mean, and it's on every level of the government. It's not just that one state agency, which is funded by the federal government. So the more children they take, the more they're padding their pockets. So they're going to go after as many children as they can.
It's a money-making machine. Courts are money-making machines, and the people making the money are the judges and the lawyers. And believe me, a lot of agencies are getting a piece of the action.
Exactly, and they're not. And it's not about the best interest of the child. That's a statement that was said way back in when Hitler was in power. That's how he started, when he said the best interest of the child.
Right.
And if you do your research, you'll see, and they're using that same statement, the best interest of the child, but really the interest, the key word is the interest that they're making off that child.
Right.
They're using forced adoptions. You know, the people have biological families. They're breaking up families, changing names, where if they wanted to find their biological family, they couldn't, because they have changed their names. They have changed their birth certificates, if they had a social security number when they were stolen, kidnapped, and abducted, they have a different number now. So they could never really find their real parents, a mother and father, because they have a different name. Everything's been cut off. Everything's been deleted. So now they have been brainwashed that these people that they are with, this is your family. And they have biological people walking around and could walk right past them and don't even know, oh, that's my mother, or that's my father, or that's my brother, and don't have a clue.
Right. It is so serious. And, we really got to get our job done, because it's only going to get worse.
We do.
It's really serious.
I mean, it's beyond serious. I can't even come up with a word to describe it. I just can't. I just know, like you said earlier, we need the Most High, and people need to don't worry about, I mean, whatever you want to call the Most High, our Creator, that's your business. But right now we need Him. We need His power. We need His guidance. And we have to do what He tells us to do to make this happen. We do our part, He'll do His part. We need justice. And without His love and guidance and power, we can't get it. We see, we went through the channels. All of us here have experience injustices. And we took it on every level. And not everything, we got the same results. So it doesn't matter what your religion is or what you believe in. We're not here for that. We're here for justice and bring justice to the court, so that no matter what your walk of life or what you believe in, if your unalienable rights are being denied or taken from you, you can go somewhere and get your case reviewed or redress the government for grievances. And that's what people need to focus on. We don't have time, because if people were so holier than thou, we wouldn't be in this mess in the first place. So people need to stay focused on what we are here at National Liberty Alliance to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, save all what life we have left, save our lives and the lives of our posterity, and help people that really want to be helped. Some people don't want to be helped. You know, I learned that the hard way. Trying to help everybody.
And even they have been conditioned to be that way. You know, they look at our schools have destroyed us, they're destroying all of us. We're so dumbed down, it's pathetic, and we have no clue how dumbed down we really are until we start to realize, like us here at National Liberty Alliance, to realize what we really don't know anything. You know, we haven't been taught anything at school. So.
Yeah, and then when you tell people, they say, no, that's ridiculous. There's no way that many defendants, when I had first filed some time ago, and they gave me the runaround and told me, well, we're gonna send out subpoenas to summonses by email. And I'm like, well, I wasn't that up on, you know, how things are done or whatever, but I knew something was kind of fishy and something was rotten in Denmark with that statement. So I'm like, well, actually something's rotten right here, because I haven't even given you anybody's email address, and everybody doesn't have an email address, so that's improper service.
Right.
You know, and people, they don't want to believe that it's like tons and tons of names of state workers, lawyers, judges. I mean, all the way to the top. I mean, it's just crazy. And you go to this person, that person, phones start ringing off the hook, and you're telling me that Rico on steroids is not... Steroids is not the order of the day.
Yeah, it's bad.
So. Yeah. So, like I said, I'm not going to be all long-winded. I just wanted to let you know I'm here and standing strong with the rest of the National Liberty Alliancers.
All right. Well, we appreciate the call. Thanks, and we'll go to the next call. We're going to have to push it along, because we do have a lot of people online here, and we're running out of time. So, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Next caller, 870. Go right ahead. Is that Steve?
Hi, John. No, this is Eric Williams.
Oh, how you doing, Eric?
Hi. We talked the other night.
Yes.
I've been listening here ever since the show's been on. And you, a couple calls back, you mentioned the importance of jurisdiction.
Right.
Back in 1970, that's 44 years ago, I think that may even be before so a lot of the people on this call were born, I was charged by the IRS in federal court in Los Angeles with criminal willful failure to file and pay income tax. I walked out of that courtroom in less than 5 minutes, and I've never ever filed or paid or been bothered by the IRS since. And the reason was because the IRS prosecutor opened his case against me saying, citizens of the United States have an obligation to do things, he started listing. I stood and interrupted him, and I said, I object. And the judge said, why are you objecting? He hasn't said anything yet. I said, well, he said citizens of the United States have an obligation to do all those things he was listing, and that may be true, but he doesn't have anything to put me in that class. The judge then asked me if I was renouncing my citizenship. I said, how can I renounce that which I never applied for? He then asked me where I was born. And I said, at the time of my birth, I'd just gone through a terrible ordeal. I was gasping for breath. I didn't know who I was, where I was, or even what I was.
That's
he then asked me what my mother had told me. I said, at the time that I was born, I did not then understand child-mother relationship. I could not pick my mother out of a lineup of one. He then asked me what was on my birth certificate. I said, at the time that I was born, I did not understand the importance of such a document. I don't know if such a document was created at the time of my birth or not. I deny that any was. And pointing at the prosecutor, I said, he can't prove it. The judge then said that he was taking the matter under consideration and that I would be notified. That was 44 years ago. I'm still waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I have
you got to admit though, things were a lot simpler potentially if you had knowledge though.
I don't agree with that, John, at all.
Yeah.
Everybody
well, today,
says that to me.
Today, well, I'll tell you what they do today though. No, what I'm trying to look at very few people understood what, you know, back then especially what you're talking about. But, you know, today they come in as a court of record. They come in as the sovereign of the court in a tax court. And the interesting thing is tax court is actually held in federal court. So it has the appearance of something more than what it is to begin with. And the tax court really is no court at all. It's created by, I think it's 28, but it could be 26, but I'm pretty sure the tax court is created in U.S. 28. And nevertheless, the whole thing is a fraud. But to win there is really, really difficult. But jurisdiction is the key, and you got to put the judge's flesh on the line. If you don't do that, you're not going to win in federal court. You have to beat it before it actually gets to trial.
John, I'm sorry, but you don't know what you're talking about, and you keep interrupting. You won't let me talk.
Well, I did
have
let
been
you talk,
doing
but
this.
Go ahead.
I have been doing this since 1966. Mm-hmm. I'm 80 years old. I've got more experience than you people are even been alive yet. I've
mm-hmm.
been through all of this stuff. I know what the problem is. The problem, and you mentioned it in your a little while ago on your call here, that the issue is jurisdiction. I read all of the papers that you guys filed with the courts. And when I was reading the papers all the way through, I said the same thing. There's no establishment here of jurisdiction. The courts are going to throw this out, and you don't have a chance, no matter all of the beautiful references that you had, all the case law that you had about the authority of the people, all of that, absolutely beautiful, John, but you never put in any of your paperwork who you individually, personally were. Now, we talked about this the other night, and you said, and you mentioned it here on the call earlier, that you were going to create such a document. But, John, what you are missing there is that all of the paperwork that you filed against all of those judges is going to be void because those judges have not had an opportunity to be confronted by the humans who have the standing.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Cases were dismissed because your paper.
Wait, hold it. Let's stop because there was no case to be dismissed that they can dismiss. We went into the courts. Well, let me explain to you what happened because I did give you a lot of time and we did speak.
I know what happened, John.
I know what happened. What happened.
I read all your paperwork.
But you said
I said on the call the other night, the courts where you're filing those papers, they can't read the papers no matter what they are, because the first thing you have to put on your papers is your standing. As you said a little while ago, jurisdiction is critical, and if you don't establish who you are, they cannot acknowledge your standing, your jurisdiction.
Well, I understand that, and we talked about this the other night, and
yes,
we had a long conversation. Excuse me now. Let me talk. We had a long conversation. It took a little while before you made a few good points. We didn't argue that. And we decided, well, okay, we're going to add a few more things on our final paper. And we're going to take what you had said into consideration. And you're not giving us the opportunity to get to where we need to get to with that final piece of paper, which you'll probably see in a week or so. And then you can comment on it. Meanwhile,
John, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Well, hold it. Let me finish up what
I
want to say.
Goodbye, John. I'm sorry. I'm hanging out. Goodbye. I don't want no more to do with you idiots. Goodbye.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Anyway, let's take our next caller, James 205.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I just got a couple comments. You're talking about the gold and silver coin.
Yeah.
You know, being the lawful money, you know, and I was getting gas earlier today, and the next guy in the next aisle over getting gas complaining about the gas prices. I said, gas prices ain't no different. It's
right.
Still 45 cents a gallon.
That's right.
Actually,
it's even, if you go back to the real value of, well, what's silver at right now an ounce?
Well, you know, I don't know, but I know you take a pre-1964 quarter to a reputable coin dealer, you get about $3.50, $3.75 for it, and that'll get you
that's about right. Yeah, I think, you're absolutely right.
So, you know, it's still the same price, so, you know, it's just the purchasing powers of the dollar have changed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and the Constitution does specify gold and silver coin. Now, another comment.
And we're going to hold our states to that. We need to move back. And once we get into authority again, we have to push the states and require them to return and obey the Constitution. And
right.
That's how we'll save things. That's how we'll save the economy. And look at, you know, the Federal Reserve is a private corporation. They're responsible for all the money they printed out. That has nothing to do with us. That whole thing was a fraud. Let the people of the world go seek those people out. We know who they are.
Well, you know, I hear people talk this argument, so you won't get common law until you get back to gold and silver coin established as the currency. You know, I said, well, you know, I think we're moving in the right direction. Because
well, you probably... That's a very good statement, I think, that you won't get common law until you get gold and silver reestablished. Because, you see, the biggest battle against common law is the Federal Reserve. It's the bankers. It's the money. They control the Bar Association. They created the Bar Association. They make sure the curriculum of the school for the people who are bar lawyers it all works on their behalf. So that's probably a very good statement. We're going to be able to accomplish that, though, through the grand jury, and as soon as we get in, we're going to make gold and silver. It's going to be coming at the same time we're requiring common law and we're requiring real money because
right.
That's what the Constitution says. So.
Now, in our state constitution, it says that every municipal judge has to be licensed to practice law. Well, and then you go down another section, it says the circuit court, district judges, appellate judges, and so on, all have to be licensed to practice law.
Well, there's a problem with that statement, though, and
well,
that may be... That problem may be total ignorance, because there's no such thing as a license to practice law.
You got that right, because I called down to the Attorney General, the Secretary of State, and, you know, I know these numbers off the top of my head. I don't have to look them up. I mean, I'm good with numbers, let me tell you what. And I'm questioning them. I said, who issues this license? Where can I go and apply for a license? And we went round and round until they just hung up on me. You know, I started quoting the Constitution and Supreme Court cases, and they just hung up.
Right. You can't license a right, okay, to begin. But also, again, there is no such thing as a license to practice law. It doesn't exist anywhere. The closest they have to that really is what they think is their license is just a union card, is all it is.
Yeah, the bar
card. Yeah, it's no different than a painter's union or any other union.
It don't say license on it nowhere.
That's right. It doesn't. And so they don't have a license. Now there is true that they do have something for an attorney, and I don't know if it's called a license, but they do have something for an attorney in order to represent a what did they put it as? An individual who doesn't have a mindless person, or a child, a ward of the state. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, it's
a ward of the state.
Infant, so, lunatic, or a ward of the state.
Right. So for that, they claim that there's some kind of, they have to be some kind of a license or something for that particular case. But what they're really saying is that we're all lunatics or we're all wards of the state. That's what they're really saying. And therein is where they're trying to push this license thing. But in order for them to explain it, they'd have to reveal the truth. So they can't explain it. They're going to avoid the conversation. Just like they're going to avoid the conversation when you say, hey, judge, what jurisdiction do you think we're in here? Because it doesn't seem to be working the way I think it should be. Can you tell me the jurisdiction? And he won't answer that question because he can't. Did I lose you?
No.
Okay.
There was one other comment I want to make. You know, on this planet today, there's more souls alive in here today than there's ever been in a long, long time.
And you know, I heard that, and it may be that may be true. You may be right on that.
All the souls are here to witness the great shift back into the proper line with the Heavenly Father's rule.
Mm-hmm.
And that shift is coming soon.
Yeah, I agree to that too. And so it's going to be very interesting times, and maybe frightful too. So.
All right, John. All right. So just a few comments. And this is Keith, by the way. I spoke to you.
Oh, okay,
this
Keith.
Morning.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night, Keith.
Thank you. Good night. Next caller, 716, is a wireless caller. You got the mic.
Good evening, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. This is George Elton, Stalker County. I just had a couple of wonderments. Dealing with this federal judge, and I believe the one that you is Stuttgarty. Sturdy, S-T-U-D-D-A.
Let's see how I.
Is this the judge that the.
Sutherby, I think it's Sutherby. S-U-D-D-B-Y,
yeah,
I think it is. Sutherby.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a strange name to pronounce.
Right.
But at any point, is this the judge that the latest paperwork went to, the one you're waiting for?
Right. That's the latest, and he should have responded by today. Nothing came in the mail today.
Okay. What I'm wondering is, could we help in any way by, let's say, sending him personally, say, postcards or letters?
No, I think the best thing is the best thing that could happen. Okay. The best strategy we have to really get his attention is state seals. And that's why we're pushing for the states that have fully constituted. You get the unified state, you know, unified common law grand juries for that state. Get those seals, and so we'll have at least 13 of them. We got West Virginia, so they should get theirs. That's 14. They'll be done this week or next week. I think they said this week. Delaware hopefully will be done in this week. You know, I know that's expected, but if they're done, we'll get that. And there may be one or two other states that are moving along that may be ready. So we might be able to come in with, let's say, 15 states. And if we can have 15 state seals on the paperwork on our next letter, believe me, that is going to be a motivator for this judge.
Okay, well, that was just kind of one of the things I, you know, sometimes takes a push from
right.
a great number of people to
right.
to convince somebody that they might want to reconsider what it is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And,
well, we know exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's playing a chess game, and I think he's playing a chess game with the wrong people, because we're not just a few people. We are, you know, we're out there really working the whole nation. But
yeah.
when we come at him, and we're going to define, we've already defined this, but we'll make ourselves clearer for the record, and we're going to give you one more chance, you know. We want you to understand that we do mean business, but you know, just in case you misunderstood everything, let us make it clear in one paper, and you better go back and read it all, and here it is. And we're going to make it
yeah.
clear that, A, Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury isn't just some group of people. It is people from every single county. We've got 62 counties. We went and we constituted, and we'll show them the way we've done it. We've already got this in the paper. We'll make it clear, though. We've constituted 62 counties, and it's not just New York State now. Here's 14 or whatever other states, and here's their seals, and they did the very same thing that we did. And believe me, this is moving across the nation. You see, this should put a little fire under them, I think.
Yeah, I'm thinking that probably this might be something you might want to consider for, because sometimes these guys, you know, they're either so busy or they're so wrapped up in themselves and their power that they can't really see the group that's pushing for what it is. You're telling them that you have, you know, 1,000 people behind you, but they're just not seeing it. I think that's the way it looks to me. They're just not seeing the thing.
Right, so we're going to help
them. Almost to the point where sometimes I thought even it might be the point would be to.
Well, I'll tell you what we may do.
Flood the court without their consent.
Well, I'll tell you what I think we may do. This is what we may do. We definitely want to do the state thing in the next week, and we're going to discuss this next Monday. I want to take this under advisement from other people and see what they think that I talk to, and then we'll come back out and we'll talk about it on next Monday. But I think what we may do is ask every county that has constituted, we'll create some kind of a form letter. And people can kind of tweak it however they want, but just give them an idea anyway. They can copy the letter the way it is, or they can. It would be much better if you can just take the letter and say, okay, let me write in my own words and do it in a different way or whatever you want to do with it. But send a letter and in the end and sign it, you know, saying that, hey, you know, this is the grand jury of this county and this state, and we're in total, solidarity.
Yeah.
With New York and what they're doing, we just want to let you know we're here and we're pushing for the same thing, and we're watching you, and we're going to get justice one way or the other. You know, so if everyone is sending in just a very short letter similar like that with the seal, okay. Now let me suggest this. You know, I've been in business almost all my life here. For a long time, and I've got lots of different businesses I've been involved with over the years, and I've had to sign a lot of stuff, a lot of checks and a lot of papers and contracts. I mean, just constant signatures all the time. And so, you know, I got my signature that I'm slow with, and you can read my name. But then I got my signature, generally the one I use is like, you know, real quick. It's really, I put my three initials one on top of each other, and it's just, you can't even read it. You have no clue on what it says. So basically, what I would say, anybody that has developed a signature that can't be read, they should be the one signing that paper, because you don't want to let them know who you are, because they'll try to target you, and we don't want to become targets. We don't want to give them targets. Let's put it that way. When I go and talk to people and they ask me my name, I ask them their name, and I get their first and their last name, usually, when I'm coming in as a grand jurist. And then they ask me for my name, and I say, John, well, what's your last name? And I tell them it's none of their business. They're not going to get it. You know, the grand jury or any jury doesn't give you the names of people. But just by saying you're not going to get it, they move on from there, and we continue conversing. So they understand. So the key thing is we don't want to make ourselves targets. So it should be signed in a way that by someone whose signature can't be read very well. And we definitely don't print the name. We'll put administrator or jury foreman. And we always put down signed on behalf of and by order of whatever it is, the grand jury, whatever the name of the grand jury, whether it be the county, you know, state and county, or whether it be the unified. And that's how everyone should do it. But we're going to talk about that very specifically next Monday, and maybe that's a good idea, and get the letter writing with that, with a seal on it. And if we can get 600 counties popping them in, that'd be great.
Right, and that's, you know, I was hoping that you might consider that thought of putting something online, you know.
Well, maybe just the postcard.
There's an organization that's done that in New York, and it seems to be quite
right. And the power of that.
It's not an original idea.
See, I like the postcard.
It's not an original idea by me, by any means. So.
No, I like the postcard maybe better for numerous reasons. Number one, all the counties we don't necessarily have the seals for, it, and some of the counties don't really have leaders yet, so that could pose a problem. But, you know, the postcard can come from an individual. And what's really good about a postcard is it's got the postage stamp on it from where it originated from. And that will
right.
tell the judge we are all over this nation. We are not
right.
just a couple of people in some corner, a small little group that's trying to cause some chaos. No, no, no. We are the people, and we're everywhere. So that
you know,
is a, that's the way to do it.
If these people are putting on life jackets to avoid drowning in the paperwork, I think that'll get their attention. That's kind of why whoever came up with the idea that I stole from them, I thought had quite a great idea. So to move on from that, I just wanted to mention that that I started a program to donate $5 a month to the program, and shortly after that, somebody not your organization, but somebody got control of my card, so anything that I've had used that card for will not be able to access the funds from it anymore because they have a new card with a new number. So I'll be signing up again with the other card. Or my other question was, is there any possible way I could just put a check in the mail and?
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah. If you go up to our website and on the top right side. You know, you see the donate button. Click on the donate button, and when you, I think it's down on the bottom. I'm looking real quick, but I'm sure it's down on the bottom. Yeah, it says here, or donate by check or money order, make checks payable to Trade Winds and mail it to, and it gives you an address, so you could send it there. So you could do it either by, credit card, or you can send a check or money order. Yeah.
Okay. That would actually be better for me to do that.
Yeah, that'd be fine. We appreciate that.
And that, again, that's located under contacts?
Yeah, under,
or,
well, no, on the top right, when you look at the blue bar on the top, on the right side, you'll see donate now. On the left side, you see Monday call. So it's on the right side. Just click donate now.
Okay. All right, I'll look for it and see if I can find it.
Top right side, right above the blue bar.
Okay. I'll not take up any more of your time tonight. Thank you very much, and...
All right,
say hello to everybody that called in, and thanks for calling in.
Appreciate
okay.
it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, next caller, let's see, 801. Go right ahead.
John, I'm a repeat caller. I had one of the people that participated tonight ask me to call back in.
Okay.
The reason I'm calling back in is to explain to everyone that I'm not afraid of being targeted. I've already been targeted.
Uh-huh.
Believe me. I've had my home bombed. I've had dogs mutilated. I've had my timber set on fire. I've been repeatedly falsely arrested and imprisoned. I've had all kinds of harassment for many, many, many years by the people that we fight. The reason that I'm not afraid of them any longer quite simply boils down to this. The vast, massive looting of the financial institutions in the United States, me, Judson Witham, and the NSA can write that down, Judson Brown Witham, has been raising ever-loving hell about the looting of the financial institutions in the United States, on the record, in the newspapers, on television, radio, and in the courts since 1981. I'm not afraid of them at all, and they know it. The reason I call back in is in Nazi Germany, nobody was going to win against the Nazis. In Benito Mussolini's fascist Italy, nobody was going to beat the fascist in an Italian court. Same in Spain with the communists in Spain and the fascists in Spain. Same in the Japanese Empire. And I can go on all night long with when you're fighting Nazis, you're not going to win in their courts.
Are we still?
Now, the reason that I agree with you 100% on steroids with the rise of the people is that the powers of grand jury predate the use of the grand jury by the bureaucrats, by the so-called government authorities. The grand jury existed before they crept in. The Fifth Amendment has not been repealed. The Fifth Amendment has not been superseded. It has not been amended to take away from the people the authority to form citizens' grand juries. The government can't take the power away. That'd be the equivalent of telling you that you don't have any First Amendment rights anymore.
Right. Well, that is the key point there. You see, look at, you know, one of the things, you know, God speaks about the enemy at some point in time when they're running, when no one even pursues them. And this is the thing, when you get into a federal court particular, because the judges in a federal court understand this a lot more than the state court judges. They're just so stupid, the ones in the state. But the federal courts, they're a little more sophisticated. I think they're more evil, they're more dangerous. But they don't like to leave their flesh on the line because they don't know what's going to happen if you bypass them. And if they get someone that they really realize is tenacious and they're not going to let go and they're going to move forward and go up the line, they're concerned about that, and they don't want to be stuck in a situation where, you know, they've broken the law and they can get in trouble for it. They can end up in jail. Not that happens often, but that's what their worry is.
I've had experience with the Fifth Circuit, the Eighth Circuit, and the Fourth Circuit, and the U.S. Supreme Court. And each time I went up to those courts engaged in creating a decision based on erroneous facts that they created out of thin air.
Right.
In other words, when they would render their decisions, they would create a factual basis for their decision, to support their decision.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Totally.
That's
facts. They lie, in other words.
Yeah, that you're absolutely right. That's why you have to protect your case, and you have to be very dogmatic. You have to stay focused, particularly on jurisdiction, because the key to the whole thing is always jurisdiction. And you're trying to bring them into a jurisdiction, and they're trying to stay out of that jurisdiction. And when they feel that they can't defend that anymore, okay, and then they may lose under the appeal. And you see, with our court, we don't even have the option, nor do we use the option of appealing, because appealing doesn't come from a common law court. A common law court is the highest court in the land, and so when a judgment is made in a common law court, no other court has the authority to overrule it, unless you have violated the inalienable rights of another individual. Other than that, there can be no reconsideration of the decision of a common law court. In other words, a court of record.
We can get into the hyper technicalities of everything,
right,
from shepherdization of a case to proper citation forms.
Right, but the key thing is this, is that instead of appealing, you sue directly. You see, if the judge does the wrong thing, you sue the judge directly. In our case, if the judge does the wrong thing, and what we're doing with NLA, you know, with the grand juries of New York, let's say, what we're doing here, we're not suing, but we're going after these judges for breaking the law. And so if we go after this judge, we're indicting him. We're not suing him. So that's the collateral damage he is going to.
Another point that I want to make, and I've discussed this with you before, if you and I, John, if National Liberty Alliance had the monopoly that the Federal Reserve has, and we could print up out of absolutely nothing, out of thin air, from nothing at all, $85 billion, I call them quantitative easing coupons. If we could print up that kind of fiat script, $85 billion every single month, can you imagine the budget the NLA could have?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So I realize what we're up against. You're right.
That's what we're fighting. We're fighting the quantitative easing buck that Janet Yellen and Bernanke and Geithner and that whole gang are they're creating vast rivers of fortunes from nothing that totally violate the letter and the spirit of the Coinage Act of 1792 and the first article.
Right.
Well,
you're absolutely right, and we're up against a humongous machine here. It's almost like how could you possibly win?
I hate to say this to the NSA, but the NSA, those SOBs, and I'll use the abbreviated form just to be nice, but those SOBs were the same people that Oliver North and Poindexter and Abrams and Bill Casey and the Iran-Contra arming the Ayatollahs and Reagan and that whole bunch. Those Nazi sons of, you know what, SOBs, I'm going to be nice. I can get real nasty about it because this angers me like you won't believe. But we have the NSA and the CIA allowing this private group of international corporations that control the so-called Federal Reserve, and they're printing rivers, tsunamis of script out of nothing.
Right.
That's how they're controlling. Hell, they're buying up all the land with this script out of nothing. They're paying for the courts. They're paying for the entire federal budget out of thin air. The federal government is broke except for their quantitative easing coupons.
Right. Well, let me get a word in here. You know, you're absolutely right, and we're up against a huge machine, and you got to wonder, well, how could we possibly win? First of all, one of the things that the points that I always make is that only the people can save America, and it's going to take the people, and we're doing it. You know, it's got to come from every point. It's got to come from every geographical place within the nation, and that's why this idea with the postcards may really be a really good idea to do. And we're going to talk about this next week. We're going to try to put something together for that. But on top of all that, God is able. God doesn't need money. And that's the key thing. You know, we started off a little earlier. You know, we talked a little bit about this idea of me bringing up God from time to time. And I usually try to start things off with some Bible verses. You know, if we don't lift him up, he certainly is not going to bless us. And you can't have a relationship with the Father without having the Father there to listen to. If you don't listen to the words of your Father, what kind of relationship can you have? But the point is this. You know, I read my Bible every day. And I'll tell you, I'm just totally amazed by some of the things and the successes that people have had that's in the Bible because God said and made it so. Defeats against nations and kings and people that were just impossible feats. It just couldn't happen. You know, the story I told a few weeks back about Elisha and what happened with him and how God just blinded the people into total ignorance. And they were led like lambs to the slaughter. To another king, and the king, and when they opened their eyes, they didn't even know. And the king says, "Hey, you bringing these people here? So you want me to kill them for you? You want me? You know, we'll take them out because he knew they were the enemy of Elisha, and he knew Elisha was a godly man, who was a prophet of God. But you know, this is the kind of thing that God can do, and this is what we're counting on. We're counting on God to do the fight for us, the battle for us, and." You know, we'll take an each
God
step
at
a time.
Who help themselves. God helps
That's
those
true.
Who
That's
help
true.
Themselves. And I just want to make a final point. You know, Barney Fife and Andy of Mayberry, he could spot a fake ID. Barney Fife could spot a fake ID. Everybody that sells beer and cigarettes to people, they can spot fake ID. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to spot a counterfeit $100 reserve note. And I absolutely guarantee you that the investigation of Joseph Arpaio on the identification of Barack Hussein Obama, his detectives and those Arizona law enforcement agents, they're expert at spotting false ID. Mm-hmm. Here's something that I want to say to the NSA as they record this call. And anybody that might use this recording to try to prosecute Judson Witham somehow, I want to say something here. And that is that the Central Intelligence Agency and the Department of Justice and the FBI and the U.S. Treasury Postal Inspection and people that work for the United States Marshals Service, they all know how to spot false ID, too. Barack Obama has posted on the White House web server the biggest fake imaginable, and I can go into great detail as to why my expertise in counterfeiting reserve notes experiences are applicable to that false BS that they posted on the White House web server. We have a fake. I don't care what color he is. It makes no difference. That's not relevant at all. It's not even germane. The reality is that his identification is fake. The only ID that he's produced to the American public is fake. And I would be willing to...
The sad thing about all that is I think most people realize that now. And he's
I think that the detectives, and I think that Sheriff Joseph Arpaio, and this is not an endorsement of Joe Arpaio. This is simply a scientific observation. If you subject the documentation behind Obama to the same rigors as a Secret Service agent would subject a reserve note to in a trial court, which I've witnessed many times, I've sat through counterfeiting trials numerous times listening to the experts tell you why this is counterfeit. If you were to subject that BS that this guy Obama has posted for the world to see, it will not pass those tests. We have, at this point in America, a fake government from the top down. John, we are fighting Nazis. I swear to God. God knows I'm telling you the truth. We have a rogue, totally out of control and outlaw government in control of America tonight.
Well, that's right. We talk about that all the time, and we make mention of that in our paperwork. We pour it all out. There's no doubt about it. It's Marxists and Nazis that are controlling us, and we need to take it back.
My father flew combat missions as a carrier pilot in the Pacific. And in order to get into a fighter aircraft, one of those old Grumman Bearcats, one of them aluminum pieces of garbage, and go up against Zeros, you had to have titanium you-know-what. I won't say it on the radio because I don't want to offend the ladies. But there's an anatomical part of a man that you got to be made out of stainless steel to get in an aluminum aircraft and go off a carrier deck up against Jap Zeros. My name, for the record, sir, is Judson Brown with him. And if the government doesn't like what I've got to say, I've got a suggestion for him. Get the hell off my island. You ever watch Stephen and Braveheart, that little Irishman that refers to Ireland as his island? This is my island. This is my country, John. And anybody who wants to play by the Constitution is welcome to be my friend. But any of these little Nazi SOBs, they got a world of hurt coming their way, and they know it, just like you were saying earlier, that July is kind of, you know, something's coming, and they're cooking something up, and a crash is coming, and this big catastrophe. This is how they run the country, from crises to crises to crises to crises.
Well,
they're keeping it off balance. And, John, last thing I'm going to say, then I'm off. I know people all over this country. I know more people than you can possibly imagine. I am a very well-connected American patriot, and I know one thing, if I know anything at all, National Liberty Alliance needs to be aligned with the constitutional sheriffs of the United States. In other words, Richard Mack should be consulted about NLA, and also Oath Keepers. I know
We kind of looked into that, but we didn't spend a lot of time in pushing on that. But if you want to, if you know a lot of people, then bring them to National Liberty Alliance, get them involved, and you get
citizen grand jury, true build indictments, and somebody's going to have to effect some arrests. And I would suggest that the constitutional sheriffs be in, asked as to what they need for them to do their jobs.
All right, well, I got to move on because we only got a few minutes left and we've got another caller left. So I appreciate your time. Thanks. Okay, last caller coming up, 253. Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Hello, John. Thank you.
Hey, shut up. Shh.
Shh. I'm sorry.
Hey.
Anyway, a couple things. I have a couple of questions. Okay, I'm going to go in the house, I guess. I got a 2-year-old that's going through the terrible twos.
Okay.
With my old female. So, anyway, that's another story. Okay, thank you. Anyway, one thing regarding, I have several questions. One is there any reason, I know of at least 3 other organizations that are working on common law courts.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're aware of some of them myself.
Yes.
Is there a reason why a person couldn't belong to more than one organization?
Well, you could belong to anything you want. We have a process and procedure and, that we go through. We want people to be individuals. You know, when you get down to where the rubber meets the road, it's the few people in a room trying to figure out what to do and fix it. And that's where it's got to be. It's a people thing. But as far as the procedures and the processes and what exactly we're doing and how we're trying to accomplish it, we're doing it different than anybody that has ever done it before. We've seen a lot of people do these things, and none of them has been successful. We have to admit at this point.
I understand all that. And,
right.
And okay, because they've asked me to join these other ones, and I refuse to do so until.
Yeah, you know, one of the problems is, I tell you, it depends on what they're involved with too. I mean, some of them want you to give up your driver's license or
right.
your voter's registration, you're doing is flagging to the government to say, hey, I'm one of these terrorists with this group, and when it's time,
right.
look at there are canaries, the mine canaries. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I understand.
And when they come out for them, we know they're coming out for us next, and we'll be ready. You know?
Okay. Another thing I'd like to remind everybody, you speak of the Bible a lot, and there's 2 things I want to bring up about that. One is I've considered this country similar to the story of Noah. And I don't have enough time to go into why I think that, but the main reason is every culture in the world lives here. And with the grace of the Creator, it produced a terrific place to be a free person on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
People who have studied the founding fathers will know for a fact that I was in up at Valley Forge here several years back and got to read one of Washington's diaries, and he states right in there that angels assisted him in his battle plans. He talked to whoever he talked to. He talked to somebody. He admitted that he talked to somebody. So I want people to understand that the whole planet is blessed by this country, and we are blessed to be those of us who live here and believe in the structure of the original structure are blessed. And the Creator is with us. I don't care if you call him God or Muhammad or whoever you call him. He's with us, and your organizations and your people behind you that came up with this thought is, was great. And that's why you got so many other states behind you when you're just considering New York. So I want to state that to everybody that the whole planet is waiting for the United States and the people of this island, as the last gentleman spoke, to speak up and stand up and. To do it peacefully, and your way is the only way to do it peacefully. I know, I follow 3 or 4 militia groups, too, and, some of these guys are ready to go start shooting, and that's not the way for it to do. If that happens, then everything goes into chaos for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, too, is I don't know if you ever heard of a book called Misquoted Jesus or not by Bart Ehrman, I believe is his last name.
No, I never heard of it.
Anyway, you might want to look at it. He's a 30-year Bible scholar, a professor at a university, and wrote this book. And it's pretty interesting. So I just thought I'd bring that up. You can also, if you Google it, he does a YouTube for about, I think it's an hour and 40 minutes. But I bought the book, and I also have it on audio. I've listened to it like 3 times in my life. But anyway, and so bless you for all that. And I agree with you. It's time for people to. In the other states, and I'm going to do what I can to help here in the West Coast. I know people in several bordering states that aren't constitutionalized yet, so I'll see what I can do to get some people involved in that. But anyway, I just think wonderful job, and stick to it, and I know God is with us all on this. So.
Well, amen.
Because I've been telling people for the last 30 years that this is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany in 1930.
Yep.
Or in Germany in 1930. So, and all you got to do is read the history because they're repeating the same thing. You know?
Right, exactly. And we're very close to the closing of the Iron Fist, or you know, that's communism.
Right.
But the same thing with Nazism. We're very close.
They're
both
the same thing. So.
Yeah, oh yeah, they are. They just have a different appearance, but they are exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
they're the same tactics, and the end results is the same.
Yeah, I understand the last gentleman, too, talked about, you know, getting together with the Sheriff Mac's organization and
right.
all that. I think it's important for all of us to concentrate and get back our country, and then we can worry about the other things in between, you know, if one
right.
person does that. So bless you
well,
for
everybody,
that.
Well, everybody should continue whatever they're doing, but they should also join up with us and become a, you know, look at, we're not a political movement. We're not a group that's going to be something, a liberty group. What we are the people trying to go back and take control of our country by doing exactly what we have to do within the courts. And so everybody should be participating with that. But, you know, again, I think we're getting the cream of the crop in the sense that the people that do hook up with us are people that are somewhat seasoned to the problems and the situation. They're seasoned a little bit to the courts and the corruption in the courts, at least. And they're kind of ready. They see it. They see it quickly, and they realize this is the only way to save America. There is no other. I mean, I'm not aware of anything else, and I can't even fathom it. I looked at the political realm, and even though this, to some degree, identifies with the political realm, but it's the judicial realms, and there's only two ways up. You come up to the political or judicial branch to try to take control, and this is the only option. And it is the most powerful one, too, because once we're in the courts, it's absolute rule by the people, and that's what the nation was meant to be.
Now I'm assuming, my assumption is this, because I didn't think that they were going to allow you to speak on the second or even give you a court date. But I'm making an assumption here that you've got another backup plan to do this. And
yeah, we look at the reason we were going into the courts. We probably were a little naive on going into the courts to actually get a date to do something, because really what we were going in there to get the signature from the judge and force his hand. We're doing it by paper. We don't have to have our day in court. We're telling them just to sign the paper. They refuse to sign the paper, we're ordering them to sign the paper. He refuses to sign the paper, he's susceptible to collateral damage from the people, in other words, indictment in this case. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to move to the next one. And we've got a lot of federal judges here in New York, and we're going to sweep through them very quickly. Within 2 weeks, we'll sweep through every single one of them. I think we've got 180 or something, 160, whatever it is, federal judges. We're going to sweep through them very quickly. We're going to put them out on the wire and tell them what they need to do. And if they don't do it, then again, you know, it's an indictment on themselves. We're not going to go and indict every judge, but it becomes they're indicting themselves by the fact that they're proving the fact that the whole system has collapsed. And this is why the pressure of all these other states is so important. This is where the real struggle is going to be, is by them seeing all the people in all the states. And that's why this idea with this, sending a postcard, we're going to set something up. That is really a good idea
because it's going to tell this judge this is from the people everywhere. This isn't just out of one county or two or three. No, this is out of every county across the entire nation saying, we're watching you, do the right thing because it affects us now. And we'll figure something out, and I think that's what we need to do. And people need to get this to their liberty groups that aren't even involved with us and get them to come out to look what we're doing. Say, get these postcards out too, you know. Do it.
Yeah. All right, John.
You know, if we're married, you know, both spouses can do it. We can send out two cards. You got children, family, friends, get them to do it too. So I think that's what we're going to do. I like that idea.
Yeah, I like it too. It sounds good. That's what's nice about these phone calls. We get a lot of creative people calling and different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get this thing put together and get it taken care of. All right, I'll let you go, John. I know you're over time.
All right, thank you. I got one other caller coming in behind you. Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Okay, Ed, last caller. Go right ahead. You got the mic. Hello, Ed. Ed, are you there? You've been unmuted. Okay, Ed's not anymore, just disappeared. All right, well, we've come to the end of the evening here. Again, thanks, everyone, for joining us. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And again, those who want to come to this cookout, we're planning on next Saturday, you know, here in New York. Again, we're not asking people to travel from California or anything. But, you know, people close by, close by states, they want to jump in and get together for a day. And hopefully, you know, we'll have a good time and have a chat. Okay, with that, Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Thank you. Good night.